Welcome to Manga Cube, episode 83, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of February 3rd, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
You know that Joe Charlie Angel, the original one?
Yes.
It's quite good. I just saw an episode of it on the rerun channel. 39.2, where I am.
Right.
I was like, huh, okay. Yeah, apparently that episode, the one I was watching, it's the last episode of the season.
So big, amazing things happening and stuff like that.
Yeah, apparently one of the angels died, because I looked up on Wikipedia, and also, by the way, Farrah Fawcett was only an angel for about one season before she left the show. I was like, wait, was she famous again? She's famous for other reasons, I'm sure, but okay. What else? Oh yes, electronics. It's difficult, I gotta say. I mean, it's the salary per hour is a lot better than most jobs that are.
What salary are you looking at per hour?
Like about $26 per hour.
Oh, you go to hell.
With a certificate. with the certificate, with the first certificate.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say, oh, it's not so good. It's only like $20 an hour. And I'm like, you shut your dirty mouth. That's more than I make. And again, I don't.
I'm not going to ask you how much you make. You never ask.
I don't even have any idea anymore. I know it's decent, but for like, you know, a call center job, but still.
See, the thing is, I'm not sure if that's for the first certificate or the second certificate. That might be for the first.
That does sound.
Might make more.
That does sound kind of high for someone just starting out.
Yeah, it might be second.
Yeah. All right. Well. Yeah. I think we should go ahead and get this episode started. I mean, we've been a little slow on the recording, mostly because I've been having some weird sleep issues, so I haven't had much time to do much of anything.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of sleep issues, man, sleep paralysis. Okay.
Right.
I just gotta say, when I was taking a nap today, for some reason, I was napping, and then I woke up, I realized, why was my hand over my face? I'm like, I can't move. Why is it over my face? My hand's attacking my face. I can't move.
Your hand's trying to kill you.
It's horrible. The sleep process happens because, according to what I read, you get this lack of sleep. I sleep well, but I don't sleep as well.
Ah.
I sleep too fine most time because, sleep too fine for some reason. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, another thing. Got fiber installed here, finally.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about
it. It's pretty good. I mean, granted, I'm not getting as much speed as I could because all my stuff is wireless or, you know, Wi-Fi. But still, I was getting to, like, for my Steam downloads for the games, I was getting to, like, 1.5 to megs per second.
Does this mean that your ISP is pretty much gonna be Google Fiber, like everyone?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, most everyone in our city is switching over.
Wow.
Because that's, you know, one, they're testing it on us. Two, everyone is kind of like, you know, kind of wants to see what it's like. And also, if you get just regular internet speeds, you know, just regular non-fiber speeds with them, you end up getting it for free, basically. So if I had have stuck with the speeds that I used to have, I'd be getting it for free, which those speeds were plenty fine.
So your city's like the second one to get rural fiber. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, it's kind of funny if you go down Main Street, it's got all these banners and posters and stuff up for Google Fiber. I'm just like, wow, we're making a big deal out of this. It's kind of funny. But, yeah, it's pretty nice. I like it. But, yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into the news for this week, shall we?
Yeah.
And we are starting, as usual, with the Japanese comic rankings for January 20th through the 26th. And we are starting with, in 10th place, Mo.
Aoharurai, Volume 9.
9th place, we have Tokyo Ghoul, Volume 10. What the?
Yeah. 8th place, Maji, Sinbad no Boken, Volume 2.
7th place, yeesh. Kingdom, Volume 33.
I had to get back into that.
Yeah. That one...
Oh, unofficial chapters have been, like, I don't want to catch up right now.
Right.
You know, it's weekly, actually, but yeah. 6th place, Kamisama Kiss, Volume 17.
Yeah, 5th place, Gekkan Shoujo Nozaki-kun, Volume 4.
4th place, Detective Conan, Volume 82.
3rd place, Giant Killing, Volume 30.
2nd place, Maji, Volume 20.
1st place, Black Butler, Volume 18. Alright. Oh, it looks like they did a review of the Blue Exorcist, the movie.
I wonder how that turned out.
Interesting, yeah, I kind of want to check that out. And see when it's available. But anyway, let's go ahead and talk about the
New York Times manga bestseller list for January 19th through 25th.
Yeah, that one. Starting with 10th place again.
Nisekoi Buffalo Volume 1.
Ooh, I need to get that. I really do. 9th place. I mean, I have it digitally, but I'm kind of like, I want the actual volume because I collect stuff, yo. But yeah, 9th place. Yu-Gi-Oh! Zeo, Volume 4.
I like to feel like I own something when I hold something in print.
Yeah.
Okay. 8th place, Victoria Grimoire, Snow White, Volume 2.
7th place, Fairy Tale, Number 34.
6th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 10.
5th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 5.
4th place, it's not Attack on Titan, it's No Matter How I Look At It, You Guys' Fault, I'm Not Popular, Volume 2.
It's like she's blaming Attack on Titan for not doing well, even though she's higher up. 3rd place, Monster Musume, Volume 2.
2nd place, Black Butler, Volume 16.
1st place, Naruto, Volume 64. Oh, well. No, but, yeah, let's talk about what else do we have here. We have the anime and manga releases for North America for the week of January 26th to February 1st. And, well, for the anime, we just have the Nura, Rise of the Yokai Clan, Demon Capital, Blu-ray and DVD set.
And we have a lot for manga releases. We have Attack on Titan Volume 11.
We have Deflower the Boss.
That's a yaoi.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah. Or Jose, whatever, something like
that. Yeah, because it didn't... Oh, well, yeah, look at that.
Because the publishers, the publishing company is union.
Is it just me, or does a lot of the sort of fringe manga, like, you know, yaoi or yuri and all that, do they just have really weird looking art? Is it just me? I don't know, I'm looking at this.
No, it's not just you. The art does seem to seem kind of strange. I don't want to look at it.
Anyway, your turn.
The Dirty Triangle.
That one's actually porn. Oh, yeah. Well, this one might as well be. Gantz Volume 30.
I think it's the final volume, is it? I'm not sure, because it ended anyway. The next one, Her and Her Uniform. I'd like to read
two
that.
Two strikes against you. It's a porno, Mom.
I know.
Porno manga, not manga. What the crap is wrong with me? Next one we have is Her Sensitive Spot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey, Class President, Volume 4.
Next is Hot and Steamy, Volume 2.
That looks nice. Next we have Ring Mama, Volume 2. Okay, that one I've read before.
You stop admitting to these things, dang it. We're trying to look respectable. He's like, we're trying to look respectable, you freak. No, but, yeah, a lot of porn coming out this week, so I don't even know if I really count that as a lot of manga coming out, because out of all the manga, we had one...
We have one, two,
maybe two.
And three... Hey, Class President?
I don't count Gantz. It's porn as far as I'm concerned. No, but I guess Gantz. Okay, Gantz is number 3. Though I'm kind of... I'm not sure, because the Hey, Class President one... I don't know, it's by Digital Manga Publishing, but even though it isn't by Project H Books, I'm still a little looking at it and I'm thinking...
Well, see what they publish. So what they, oh no, anime. Sorry, I'm looking for manga.
Right. Well, okay. And yeah, the other releases that we have are Dragon Ball
Z. How about Hades?
No. Oh, well. Yeah, the other release is Dragon Ball Z Battle of Z for the all those systems.
Oh, yeah, the ad that has been playing around on Crunchyroll. And I think I read somewhere that it's like you play, like, you can fight 8 people at once on the screen. And I'm like,
interesting.
Huh, a lot of energy balls flying everywhere. And destruction. And death. Yeah,
no kidding.
And more death.
No kidding. Oh, dear. All right, then. And I think we have some other news. You want to get into that?
All right.
We have a lot of news, so I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah, go take a nap.
Whatever. No. Actually, what I'll be doing is I'll be going on mute and eating my sandwich while you go over the rest of the news. So have fun.
Fine. New Baki martial arts manga begins in March. Itagaki ended his earlier Hanma Baki series in 2012. Okay, Baki the Grappler, martial arts manga. It ran in Akira Shoten, Jubi Shonen Champion magazine from 1991 to 1999. And, well, I don't know what this is, but it looks pretty interesting, I guess, you'd say. I mean, most of these manga I've never read, I'll admit to that.
I never got into Baki. The art style never looked.
The art style
never looked very interesting to me, and I read like the first couple chapters, and I was just like, "This is an interesting and weird story, and it's actually kind of unpleasant. I don't care to read any more of it."
Wait, really?
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Huh.
But yeah, I don't know. It just put us right into the fight right away, and it was just very kind of gross. The way the character designs worked, and it's just like, I don't think I care for this.
Oh yeah, the magazine says that March 20th is also the birthday of a very important person. I don't know who that very important person is. I hope that it's a real person. Okay, moving on.
Yes.
Manyu Hikencho Yamada starts Korogashiga Fukuman. Manyu Hikencho. When I saw that, I was like, hey, it's that one with the ninjas and weird alternate world that puts a high price on women's upper.
Oh, right? Wait, it's that one?
Yes, it's that one.
That's weird.
Yes, that's the creator. Yamada's the creator of that one. It's not that serious. I watched it. I kind of wish to continue it.
It's
okay. The manga teases the magazine teases the magazine monthly comic run. Teases that they will feature a new heroine in the setting of a historical drama. In the days of peace, one clan received a secret art from the era of the warring states, and with them, they performed secret maneuvers. I get the feeling this might be a sequel or spin-off to Manyu Hikencho or something. I don't know the art of it, but okay. Moving on. Nurushibashi Durarus Naruto Kuban Shonen Jump Manga. Oh, yeah, all right, I got it in Nura. Are they both gonna be the same? This year's 10th issue of Weeks Joy's Weekly Shonen Jump magazine and is announcing online that 4 new series will join its manga lineup over the next 4 issues. The Winter Revolution will begin with the fantasy crime action series Illegal Lair by Hiroshi Shibashi, author of Nura Rise of the Yokai Clan. And the other one was Durarara's author Ryogo Narita and artist Yoichi Amano will start the new sensational fantasy stealth symphony. So, music again. Toshinori Kagayama will launch the mobile petite omnibus romantic comedy Ai Shoujo. So that's the third one. And let's see. Oh, he did the Reborn spin-off series, Vongola GP Kuru. And then for the fourth one, Kento Shimoyama and Tsunehiro Date will start the great comeback soccer story, Tokyo Wonder Boom. So the four series are Illegal Rare by Hiroshi Shibashi, Ai Shoujo by Toshinori Takayama, let's see, Stealth Symphony by Ryogo Narita and Yuichi Amano, and Tokyo Wonder Boys by Kento Shimoyama and Tsunehiro Date. Okay, these names just flew over my head. I don't know.
Sounds interesting. I always like seeing new manga. Wonder if we'll be getting any of them.
I kind of hope Nura, I hope Shibashi will do better with this one, not like cram everything in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked all those characters, but he kept focusing on the characters, you know. I mean, if you're going to introduce new characters, all these characters, you have to focus on them. Kubo tried to do that, but the problem was he put too many. He can focus on the ones he introduced earlier.
Yeah, that's... Hopefully he learned his lesson.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we get a chance to read any of those.
But... Okay, Seven Seas adds Coco Connect manga. The story is about club members who body switch, and it's adapted from Sadanatsu Anda's light novel series, since, you know, light novels seem to, you know, be the big hit these days because they get their light novels adapted into manga and then anime. And then, yeah. I mean, it just Sora Online, one of them. And Torama Digital Index, Shotgun Oshana, Kaze no Stigma, sadly, its creator died. Don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He died. Yes. This was like back in 2000. I think 9? Yeah, it's 2009.
Huh.
Yeah.
Alright.
And it was about to get good, too. Sad.
Well, that does happen. It's a shame.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Hidamari Sketches Ume Aoki is going to launch a new series. Let's see. I have no idea what it is, but got to do with something about, I don't see the picture, it actually doesn't explain anything.
Hmm.
Well, you can see the picture yourself, if I have no idea, I still have no idea.
Right, I got you. Alright, okay. What else do we have?
Seasons, licenses, Sapporo, Tubs, Yuri, Manga, Citrus.
Mm-hmm.
First song is about stepsisters with lovely relationship to shift in December.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Oh yeah, this one. I think I remember reading a bit of this. Check it out. The story centers around Yuzu, a high school girl who looks like a fashionable Yaru girl. Yaru, I looked it up. At first glance, but she has never fallen in love. Thanks to her parents remarrying, she transferred into a girl's high school. On her first day, she's frustrated. I can't get a boyfriend. Is what she says, and she had the worst possible encounter with a student body present, a black-haired beauty named May. And then she witnesses a kiss between that student body present and the famously handsome homeroom teacher, not sure if male or female on that part. And that student body present happens to be her new stepsister.
Okay, interesting.
But yeah, I like to read that. I mean, okay, yeah, so they're nice.
I don't know, I'm just not interested in that one.
But. Yeah, I know. I have double standards. You know, Yuri.
Ah, dear. Alright, what else you got for me?
Wait, why is this here? Okay, I might as well just say, I don't know why, but Francis Angoulême. Comics accessible to slaves, comfort women, manhwa.
Mm-hmm. You put it there.
Yeah, this is touchy. I don't know what it's about, but it opened an exhibit on Thursday, featuring about 10 Korean comics, basically about comfort women. The exhibit focuses on young women and girls forced into prostitution by the former Empire of Japan's military during World War II. The South Korean government requested the event to hold the exhibition.
Okay.
Yeah. Subject. I mean, you know, prisoners of war and such, but, you know.
Oh, sounds interesting.
Sounds interesting. I thought you'd be like, what? I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Eating your sandwich did not mean carrot.
Yeah, I had my sandwich. I'm satisfied. It'd take a lot to bug me.
Okay, moving on. Young Jump Magazine is going to start reading manga.
Okay.
The three are Yokohama-sen Doppelganger by Vanessa Chihiro Tamaki. It's a personal story of two people who fight against fate in the midst of a chain of serial murders. Huh. In the crime pursuit suspense manga, the two protagonists can only believe in themselves. It will debut on the 11th issue on February 13th. Like, 13. Oh, it's Thursday. That was a fun one. Oh, Valentine's Day is next Friday. Woohoo.
Yoshiyuki. Oh, yeah. It is, isn't it? Ugh.
Yoshiyuki Murakami draws Barcelona no Taiyo, the son of Barcelona, basically what translates to. It's advertised as a store as high school soccer to the highest level in the world.
Okay,
I read that properly. I'm about to go like, wait, what? I just wish. It will launch in the 13th issue on February 27th. And the third one is by Kazuki Funatsu, who did Addicted to Curry.
Okay. That
sounds familiar. And the third and final new series, Yokai Shoujo Monsuda, Monster Girl. Oh. The monster bounding romantic comedy focuses on a lovely, cute girl whose attractive beauty has a secret. Gee, I wonder what that is. The manga will launch in the 14th issue on March 6th.
Interesting.
Wow.
Indeed.
Okay.
Alright. Let's see. What else do we have?
Let's see. Animaro adds now, Fujiya, welcome to Dreamland Cafe Manga. Oh, here we go. Yeah, this is interesting. Manga has not previously been published in English. This one is apparently being published in a European digital manga distributor.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, it is. I actually want to read this.
Huh. Right.
I like the whole idea of traveling between, you know, in different areas and different, you know, crossovers. You know what I mean? Like, people from different areas coming over together. I mean, we know Jago tried to do that, but Jago was confusing them. What? Heck is going on with Jabba? Remember Jabba?
Hmm? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, remember when we saw, like, was there a cowboy and a knight and a samurai?
Oh, yeah.
In the same place?
Yeah, that was weird.
Why is that guy wearing a suit? Like, he's actually in the freaking Victorian era.
that was bizarre. I don't know
why. Is that an Indian? Oh, my God, that's an Indian.
He was like, wait. What? What's going on here?
I am just doing fun. I don't care what you guys say.
Yeah, it's pretty much, yeah, you can do some pretty crazy stuff if you don't care what people think.
But his editor's still saying, hey, you make sure you do this right, okay.
Yeah.
So the story, welcome to the Dreamland Cafe. It's about a girl who cares only about her studies and dreams of becoming an accountant. One night she falls in while studying and finds herself from a mysterious coffee shop between dimensions. Well, I'll be. The cafe serves not only mystical creatures, but also people who've gone lost between planes of existence. Avatar? Okay. Horror?
Yeah, that's totally what I was thinking of. But, okay, good connection,
and
I guess.
Run by a super handsome and not consistent barista. Now she has to learn the meaning of love in order to return home.
Mm.
Not to show you, I'm not surprised.
Interesting.
Okay, the manga is one volume long, and it costs $3.60 in U.S. dollars, or 900 Amimaru points.
For what?
For the manga, for this volume of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Alright.
Yeah, it's added it to the in English via Facebook app.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this one hasn't been published in English. And there's a list of other ones, but I'm not going to name them because they don't know any of these, to be honest.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
What else do we have? Son manga named on Allah's rainbow list for children and teens. Huh.
Intriguing.
Hey. Manga chosen for list of works for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, and queer themes in third straight year. Oh, wow. That's pretty neat.
Interesting.
The American Library Association's Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Roundtable, GLBTRT, selected Takako Shimura's Wandering Sun manga for its rainbow list. Huh. Nice. And we cover what it's about in, podcast number was it?
Which one was it? I'd have to look it
like
up.
The 50s.
Yeah, it was a while back. I'd have to double check that. Let me look that
check
up.
That.
Yeah.
We should make a list of when we have to cover the series
before we start recording, and then say, "Oh, gee, I wonder when we covered that." Yeah, that probably would have been a good idea.
50s, 60s. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I've got it open here. Let's see. Bakuman. Where is it? I don't see it anywhere. Here. Oh, wait. What am I doing? There it is. Episode 47.
Ah.
There
whoa.
You go.
Okay, I was close, but I was not close.
That was a ways to go. Yeah. And, okay, what else? You got for me. You've got a lot. Let's keep moving through it.
Okay. Strobedge ranks in Yalsa's top 10 graphic novel for teens. So,
okay.
Strobedge, which has 1 through 6 volumes, it's described as Minako has fallen in love for the first time and must learn how to navigate her feelings.
Okay.
You see, when I first saw this title, I thought it was about a sword.
Yeah, you're like, hey, Edge, and they're like, oh.
It's a shoujo. Number 6, which has 1 to 3 volumes. Main character lives a privileged life in a futuristic city. Everything changes when he saves another guy's life and people start mysteriously dying.
Interesting.
Publishing Kodansha. Interesting.
Maybe it will end up on Crunchyroll.
And the next one, of course it will. That's about 3 volumes. I think it ended on. But yeah. The next one, The Heart of Thomas. An enigmatic suicide note sets off a chain of drama in a German boarding school. You might like that.
Yeah. That does sound interesting.
But it has a chain of drama.
Yeah. Drama. Ugh. No likey.
Next one, Tropic of the Sea by Satoshi Kon. Oh, Satoshi Kon.
Oh, yeah.
Satoshi Kon.
Yes.
Okay, main character's family takes care of a mermaid egg in exchange for safe seas around the island community. Interesting. Community.
Well done. Well done, English.
Great English. Okay, next one, Sunny. Orphan children escape their troubles using their imagination in a broken down Nissan Sunny 1200. Okay.
Intriguing.
Next one, Kitaro. The story center on an inhuman boy who straddles the line between the human and supernatural worlds. Okay. Next one's Knights of Sidonia. The Sidonia carries the last of ever evolving humanity and continues to fight the gods with its dwindling resources. Every time I read that title, I think of that song by Muse.
Which one?
Knights of Sidonia.
Oh yeah. That one. Well, gee, I wonder why you think of that.
When I first heard that song, I was like, what is this song? My sister tried to get me to listen to it, and I was like, I don't understand the song. And some years later, I listened, oh, I get it. I still don't get it, but I liked it.
Okay.
One, Tiger and Bunny. hotshot superhero reality star is forced to team up with washed up reality star? Superhero?
Yeah, it's an interesting series, alright.
There was
I haven't
an
watched it yet, but...
There was an anime of this. I have not got a chance to watch it.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that yet, but I've heard it's interesting sounding.
Yeah, check it out. Next one, Mobile Suit Gundam, The Origin.
Oh yeah, that one's been coming out here.
When main character stumbles upon a secret prototype weapon, he becomes part of a planetary civil war. Okay. And the next one, Vinland Saga. The teenage Marauder, Thor, Finn, seeks vengeance for Father Death. There's only one volume. Wait.
There's more volumes, but two volumes have been released here.
Okay. They probably mean in English, so that's why there's only this so much up on here. I have no idea, but I swear there's more than one volume of Vinland Saga.
Yes, there is, but we've only gotten like one or two.
Okay, so these are for English. Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, well, number 6 still ended, as far as I know.
Well, yeah. Come on.
This is interesting. Gay wedding at Tokyo Disney Resort inspires the manga.
Hey?
I have no idea.
Well,
how that...
I guess if it's going to inspire anything anywhere, it would be in Japan. Especially a manga.
Newlywed couple Koyuki Higashi and her bride Hiroko are the first same-sex couple to hold a wedding ceremony at Tokyo Disney Resort.
Huh.
Although Japan does not currently recognize same-sex marriages, the pair recited their vows last March and are gaining media attention. And they have inspired a manga titled Lesbian Tekis Kekon Sekatsu. Lesbian Married Man.
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to see what would happen if somebody tried that and Disneyland or Disney World over here. It'd be interesting to see, because I mean Disney is generally fairly conservative when all things considered, but
Frozen.
Yeah. What? What did you say?
The movie Frozen.
What about it?
Oh, I get it. Anyways.
Yes, I read that article. No, I don't agree with it. Since this isn't the Disney animated movie podcast, we won't get into that, but...
Okay. Next one. Shoji Gato's Amagi Brilliant Pod get manga in Dragon Age.
Dragon Age manga?
Excuse me. No. I think it's the magazine. Sorry.
Oh. Boring.
Adaptation of novel by Fullmetal Panic creator starts on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
Well, now
Fullmetal Panic creator, I like him.
Japanese publisher Fujimi Shobo announced on Sunday that a manga adaptation of the Amagi Brilliant Park Light novel series by Shoji Gato, author of Fullmetal Panic, will begin in the March issue of Dragon Age magazine, which will ship on Saturday, February 8th. Kimitake Yoshioka, who did Lagrange, the follower Rene, will provide the art for the manga. The slapstick drama begins with main character boy who is invited on a date in an amusement park by a mysterious, beautiful cancer student, female, I'm guessing. I'm not sure by the name, I'm guessing female. He's introduced to a real princess and the park's manager and is asked to be the acting manager of this disappointing amusement park in the Tokyo suburbs. Okay. From the way I look at the figure, it's like he turned into a butler.
He's like a wear butler.
He's a park manager. I was trying to probably be a park manager at SeaWorld. And then they ended up saying, oh, sorry, you need to have your schedule open. Like, damn. Upsetting. Okay. Strange Plus creator Mikawa starts Nini Kokomomo manga. Well, okay. It's a gag comedy that follows high school girls.
Okay.
And they apparently, all it does is they're bored and they talk openly during their spare time at school. So it's kind of reminds me of Lucky Star for the first episode. I have no idea what happened now.
Okay.
They were talking about food and then something and I'm like, what are they talking about? I never liked that show.
Yeah, I never got into it. I never actually watched an episode.
Well, good for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you roll and 1, 2, 3, 4, no, 3 new manga. Arpeggio, Bluesfield, Toridemomachi, Mawateru, and Spirit Circle. Okay, Arpeggio, Bluesfield, a mysteriously equipped with super weapons, a fleet of fawns appears out of nowhere all over the world. Humanity's helpless against him and driven to emotions. 17 years later, main character and his friends fight against the fleet of fog with the fog submarine I-401, along with the ship's mental model, a human-like personality, the ultimate sci-fi naval adventure. Fair enough.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to check and see how many chapters have been released, slash which chapter they start with on
this. I think there's like 50 chapters of this one.
Oh my, yeah. What chapter do they start with on the site?
The 50.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right. Oh, dear.
Oh, I checked it. But yeah, it would be nice if this series, if the submarine was yellow, then I could sing that one song. Yellow Submarine.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Toridemomachi, Mawateru, Maid Tea Room, not a cafe. Seaside exists in human sentiment, overflowing Marvel shopping district, and it's truly ingenious. Main female protagonist is the troublesome high school girl working as Maidol at Oko Maruko shopping district, who has admiration for great detective bustling action series scenes. Unveil stage on which slightly weird Maid Tea Room in this common town. The anime adaptation was released by Sentai and yet the town moves. Oh, okay. I was trying to read that word for some reason. Okay, next one. Spirit Circle. Main character is a normal middle school second grade student. It's supposed to be a peaceful middle school life, but is turned upside down by the parents of a cancer student. Female who has a big scar on her forehead. Wait. I don't see the scar anywhere. Okay. It's a...
Yeah.
Metempsychosis spectacle story in grand scale. The new title from the author of Hoshino Samidare, The Lucifer and Biscuit Hammer.
Huh. I know that guy. He good. Oh, yeah. I read at least like part of Lucifer and Biscuit Hammer, and then I kind of stopped.
Oh, Young King Comics. I think I read some series from Young King Comics. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. I think I know one. I wish I forgot.
Hmm.
You know that series.
Yes.
Yeah, that series.
Yeah.
We're not going to mention it.
Yeah, there are a lot of series that I wish I'd forgotten. But, alright. Okay. Carry on.
This is sad news. I mean... Yeah. Anime related, but still,
we've been getting a lot of similar news stories to this one, just like in general this past year, like 2013 and this year as well. Now
I'd say decade.
Yeah, it's been kind of like that, but well, carry on.
Voice actor Yamamoto Genryusai Shigekuni from Bleach passed away. Okay, this might be a little insensitive, but wow, now he's really dead.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, the timing on that. If the anime had have continued, he probably would have been able to finish recording Yamamoto's lines.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of interesting to think of.
Imagine if the anime did continue, then he just recorded Yamamoto's lines, and then all of a sudden, after Yamamoto dies, like, wait, he died, he's dead. Like,
yeah, that would be weird.
That'd be freaky. Oh, also, apparently this voice actor was actually married to the voice actor of Goku.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now I'm extra sad.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, what's the name of the voice actor for Goku again?
I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
I looked up someone, I forgot.
Oh, jeez, let me look it up. I think I know who it is. But...
Oh, yeah, right. Masako Nozawa.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that's not who I thought it was. Oh, well.
Who did you think it was?
I'm not going to say.
But yeah, the sad thing is that they're old and, you know, they're going to pass away. It's just, it still makes me sad.
Well, at least how old was he when he died?
74.
That's still a respectable age. I mean, you could probably get quite a bit older than that, but still, it's a respectable age.
My grandpa passed away at 73.
Mm. Yeah, my grandpa's, I don't know how old he is. He's older than that, I think.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's what happens. Viking genes, yo. No, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Actually, I don't even know if he has Viking on his side. I think it's mostly from my mom and my grandma. Oh, well. Anyway, last bit of news.
Okay, last one. Angel Sanctuary author launches new death game manga. Okay, I think the art looks really interesting.
Oh.
But it's described as, main girl is from a rich noble family whose monthly tea party gathering turns into a battle for the death of clan's inheritance.
What?
Yeah, also this is for those who are at Angel Sanctuary, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, this looks very...
It's not this series.
Yeah,
this
looks very Alice in Wonderland if Alice was packing. Which, I mean, she had guns. Lots of guns. It looks weird. It is bizarre.
Carol's like, you know what, I'm done. I'm done stopping
you. He's like, that's it. I'm done. I don't know what the heck is wrong with you people. I'm done. No, but... Yeah, alright, well, that looks... Sounds like an interesting premise. Mm-hmm. Random fighting for bizarre reasons in bizarre places.
Well, it's Alpha 1, that's what works.
Uh-huh. Fair enough. Fair enough. Alright, did we have anything else, or was that it?
No, that's it, that's it.
Alright, in that case, let's go ahead and move on to the next segment, shall we?
Yes.
All right, it's time for us to discuss the latest chapter of, well, latest chapter, what am I talking about? The latest volume of Neon Genesis Evangelion, volume 13. And this is pretty much where everything, well, it doesn't wrap everything up, but we're getting through the bulk of it, getting it all wrapped up and all that fun stuff. And so, yeah, so this is the last one of the available volumes. We still don't know when volume... Let's say, you know, when volume 14 will be available.
I'm going to bet December, because they want to make us wait.
Yeah, probably.
Let me double check. The creator of Tengen Toppa Gurren also did Neon Genesis Evangelion, right?
Yeah.
So, it's the same studio. The Kill la Kill is by the same people that made Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann, but I didn't see Hideaki Anno's name there, so I'm not sure.
I don't think he's in there.
No, he's not in there.
No, so. Alright, well, let's see. Yeah. I'm just checking these volumes. Let's see. Volume 13 is there. Yeah, volume 14 hasn't even come out in Japan yet. Even though all the chapters were published, for some reason it hasn't been put out into a volume yet.
What? Oh, yeah, yeah, it was published in a magazine.
Yeah, but I don't know, it's weird because volume 13 came out in November of 2012. So I don't know why it's taking so long for, you know, for 14 to come out.
This might be a strange thing to mention, but it just dawned on me that with Neon Genesis Evangelion, it was just an anime series that got a lot of adaptations and popularity, so it's okay to just bring it back out in manga form.
All right. Well,
but with something like Final Fantasy VII, I read somewhere that if Square Enix were to try to remake it, they would practically make everything else they do look like Lane was. Nobody's gonna care because all they got is the remake. Maybe that's the reason why. So with anime, it works because it's anime. With video game, it's not gonna work. It's a bad idea to try and remake something and then, unless they'll make cry.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not stopping them. But yeah, I think with the Evangelion manga, I mean, we had, let's see, it started in 95, it's like 96 so far is the only year that had two volumes released. After that, it's like 97, 99, 2000.
When did volume 12 come out?
Let's see, volume 12 came out in April of 2010, and then volume 13 came out in November of 2012, and then before that, 11 had come out in June of 2007. And so...
So, 14 should be coming out this year.
Maybe.
Somehow.
I'm still
saying December because...
It'll probably take longer than that. But given the way that Volume 13 was released at the same time in America as in Japan... I wouldn't be surprised if when 14 comes out, they release it here as well, because they're just like, we waited too long, we're not...
14 should be released this year.
Yeah.
And, like, on the 14th day of some month.
Well, keep in mind that the difference between, you know, the difference between 12 and 11 was 2007 to 2010, so no guarantees. Yeah, that's... No fun, but yeah, it looks like they waited... For all the other ones, they waited until, like, the year after... For a good chunk of the other ones, they waited till the year after to release them in the U.S., but, yeah, 13 they brought out immediately.
No idea.
Because they were just like, yeah, we're not going to wait for this. So, yeah. All right, let's see. Well, let's talk about the volume itself.
Yeah.
And so this is pretty much the part where, yeah, let's see, yeah, we kind of start off with Shinji... This is a little different from what happens in the anime, where in the anime, the movie, Asuka gets torn, as Evangelion gets torn to shreds. Well, here they bite chunks off, but, you know, Shinji actually comes and saves her. So it's like, oh, hey, look, he makes him a little less awful this time around, but, yeah, he basically fights off the, you know... The Ava series.
Yeah.
But,
what
yeah, stuff doesn't go quite so well because, you know,
yeah.
Third Impact starts because that's...
Like, hey, we're fighting Ava series. All the Third Impact stars. Oh, son of a...
Yeah, and then it turns out all the Ava series can fly. And
That's cheating. That's cheating. You can't fly if the current one, if the ones that came before you can't fly.
Yes, you can.
It's still cheating.
Yeah,
like,
well.
It's like giving zombies the ability to fly. Like, no.
Dibs.
No.
Dibs on that idea.
But Adventure Time already did that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dang it. But yeah, so basically a good chunk of the manga is, you know, the Eva Unit 1 being basically prostrated for the Third Impact and Rei... becoming, fusing with Lilith, and kind of, basically, it's, yeah, there's a lot of sort of mumbo-jumbo going on with the dialogue, where they're like, oh, look, this, he's becoming a holy vessel, and I'm like, stop pretending you know what any of that means. I don't know what any of that means. It's...
Look at the Bible now.
No, no, trust me, it's not there. But, yeah, this is a... And then, pretty much, yeah, you have the giant Rei and everything, which is disturbing as hell. And then they kind of break into Shinji's mind, and you see his sort of, you get to see a bit of his backstory with his mom, when his mom died, when he was living with his aunt and uncle. And they're sort of like trying to just break his mind.
Yeah.
And that's kind of basically what happens in this volume.
I actually thought his aunt and uncle were actually nice to him, but it turned out they weren't because of the way how he treated his...
Well, to be fair, his cousin was a piece of shit.
His cousin was a piece of shit. Kids are kids, you know, but still, his cousin had to say something like, oh, because your dad killed your mom? Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, I know kids say stuff like that, but that's just insensitive.
Well, duh, the kids... What we expect.
Kid deserves to be beat the crap out of him. Go, Shinji. I'm rooting for your side this time.
Oh, Mo. If you ever date anyone, don't ever let them hear this episode. Like, ever.
Okay, I take everything back I just said. Kids will be kids, but, you know, they...
Yeah,
some
but...
Some kids need to learn.
They can be massive jerks, so, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this volume, what do we think?
It was... other than the whole Rei stuff going on.
That was weird.
That was disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to remember. And the part where Asuka did not get torn to bits for once.
Yeah, that was kind of like, oh, that's a nice change.
And the part where the freaking Ava series grew wings. I'm like, no, that's cheating. That's cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
they're like the later series, so I guess it's not cheating, but still, like, that's not fair still.
Yeah, it's, well,
like, we can grow wings. No.
Well, you know, it's meant to be symbolic and all that fun stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the part where everyone turns into the Mustang. That was funny.
Yeah.
Was weird. But funny.
Yeah, like that
the Tang was not orange because you can't see. It's only black and white, so it's either white or black.
Wait, did that happen this chapter? This volume, I mean. I don't think it did.
What chapter is it?
91. I don't think that happened this volume.
Okay.
So, okay, well, interesting.
Sure?
No, it doesn't happen.
Dang. Okay.
So, yeah. No reading beyond. But
no reading beyond.
Yeah, so it was, yeah, basically the entire purpose of this volume was just to break Shinji's mind. And so far so good, gotta say. It's freaky.
But yeah, we kind of do learn about, you know, the way he's been acting. It's like, oh, okay, you know, I mean, I have to admit that kind of, but then when you realize that, you know, it all to do with how he used to have someone that cared about him, and then the other person that he wanted to care about him, then doesn't care about him, but he can't care about him. So he's like alone, and, you know, these kids, you know, they're just trying to be nice. He can read that they're just trying to be nice, but not really being genuinely nice. He's like, no, I don't want to be mean.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I think this...
Is this why people hate Shinji?
No, they hated him before any of this came out, so... Okay. Yeah, no, this volume is just... You know, it doesn't really change anything about the way anyone feels about the character, and I think the thing with this volume is that it's kind of, I don't know, yeah, because a lot of the volume is taken up by the weird, freaky stuff going on, so it's kind of like, oh, hey, here's all this weird, disturbing stuff, but then at the same time, it's like, oh, well, but it also has some really enjoyable parts right at the very beginning, because, you know, with how we're seeing that, oh, hey, he's not a complete piece of crap, and, like, the characters don't all completely hate each other. So, you know, that's a nice change of pace, I must say.
I won't be reminded of the movie. The movie is just basically Arnold's reaction to how the fans are basically acting.
Yeah.
To how the haters are acting.
Yeah, pretty much. Which
I will not count the movie. Say what you will, I will not count the movie. Because the movie is only for those who hate it. So, I don't hate it.
I think, this definitely provides this definitely provides an alternate take on the movie that I actually like a lot more. I have to admit, this part of the movie I haven't seen. I kind of got through part of it, and I was like, this is weird.
I saw the entire movie, and I was like, what the heck is going on? I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd need to watch the movie again just to...
You didn't watch the entire movie?
No, it got weird.
You, a fan of Neon Genesis Evangelion way before I was,
Keep in mind, the movie is there because Anno was pissed at the fanboys.
Yes.
Acting up, okay? Yes. I'm not under no obligation to like that piece of junk. So
I know, but you at least watch all the way through.
No.
Okay.
I watched part of it, and that was enough.
Fair enough. I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
No, not a fan.
The ending song did not help, even though it sounded very jolly, but I guess that was the irony of it.
Yeah, it was weird, and it's one of those ones where I'd have to sit through the whole thing again, just pay attention to all the weird crap going on in the middle, or towards the end, because it's just like, what? But, yeah, this volume, one bit of warning that you might want is that it does, in fact, contain a giant ray, giant naked ray, so this is pretty much the most nudity you're going to get out of this.
Just
you know,
flip through the page, you see, just go, and move on, you know?
Pretty much, yeah. But just as a warning, this is the most nudity that this series has had, all in one place. And so
maybe they're trying to figure out if Volume 14 will have any nudity. Okay, make sure to do that, too. That's why it took a while.
it's pretty weird. But I think overall, this volume, it's, I don't know, not as much content as the previous volumes. I mean, even considering that the ones that we read were omnibuses, but the individual volumes themselves, this one doesn't have quite as much content. It focuses a lot on the sort of, like, you know, the instrumentality project and, you know, the whole getting Shinji where he needs to be, and a lot of people yelling about, oh, look at what is happening. So that part, not as entertaining or not as great, but I did enjoy the parts earlier on at the beginning of this, you know, of this volume. So overall, I don't really think I have anything else to add to this one, really. It is kind of sparse, so it's kind of hard to really find what to say exactly.
Yeah, it's not really much. It's just, you know, like you said, Shinji's mind breaking apart, and then we get to know about his past, and now, you know, that's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's starting to wrap up here. The final volume's the next one.
Yeah, so the next volume, we kind of get all the wrap up, and that one will be a lot of weird stuff, and, you know, the whole make a choice and all that stuff and whatnot. So that stuff will get a little bizarre, but yeah, other than that, not that much to say, really. Just, I mean, overall. So, which is a bit of a shame, but anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried. So, yeah, did you have anything else to add?
Nah, not this time.
No? Okay. Alright, well, I think this one, yeah, sorry about the short review, people. It's,
I could say, what the F, Sada, what's the writer's name?
Sadamoto, yeah.
Sadamoto with the giant ray thing, but, you know.
Well, that was from the movie, so
yeah.
You can't really blame him.
Yeah.
Just the focus, how much focus her boobs are given is kind of like, guys, that's weird.
I know she's not really, you know, real, but that's kind of, yeah.
I kind of like to imagine this as, like, one of the parody mangas will take this scene and just have Ray be all like, look, Ikari-kun, is like, has my cup size increased? Is like, well, yeah, but the rest of you has too. That doesn't really count. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, it's not like the whole, oh, do Evangelion as a romantic comedy thing hasn't been done before. In fact, the one that does that is pretty much a volume ahead of the actual freaking manga.
Wow.
Like, yeah, the Shinji Ikari Raising Project, the, yeah, volume 14.
Is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one that's like a weird comedy one, and it's that one, yeah, it came out on, like, let's see, volume 14 came out in November of 2012 in Japan, and then in June of 2014, yeah, so it looks like they do about two volumes or so on average a year, but, you know, the 15th came out on August of 2013, and there weren't any other ones, so, well, yeah, but
it's amazing that this is the only series I know of that has spin-off where,
that, you know, it's longer ahead
storyline.
Yeah, it's like
that's it has. I don't know any other manga that do that. I mean, there might be, but I don't know if there are.
Not that many, no. It's
that
not
aren't,
very
like,
common.
Really short, and I see, like, about the same length.
Yeah, no, that doesn't really happen. And I mean, yeah, this one's weird. This one's got, like, three spin-off manga that I know of, at least. Let's see.
Yeah,
there's three spin-offs.
Do we read those in the future?
We should look into it. The Shinji Ikari Raising project may be a little difficult because that one's hard to find.
So the other ones in?
Well, maybe. I'm not sure. Those kind of vary. I mean, they're all available for, you know, in the U.S., like all of them. And let's see, final stage, let's see, volume 4. Okay, and that one's like only 4 volumes. This one's like 14 volumes so far. And then the Angelic Days one was like 6 volumes, which, you know.
Is that like the dating sim one?
Pretty much. Yeah, that's the one that's more of a shoujo, that one. And it's available in print, but I don't know if it's, it might be out of print by now. I know that the Shinji Ikari Raising Project is the easiest one to find. That one is, that one's currently in print and being published. So that one's easy to find. The, the other one, the Campus Apocalypse one, would probably be pretty easy to find. But let me check Amazon. Evangelion Angelic Days. That one might be a little difficult to track down. Okay, yeah, it's currently not in print. You'd have to buy it used, which they have several volumes of it used for like a cent.
Really?
Yeah, but they'd probably charge.
Except the shipping would be like $12. I'm like, no.
Well, here, actually, let me take a look at that and see what they charge for shipping. But yeah, we have, well, some of them are that cheap, but then you've got some like Volume 3 and Volume 4 that are, well, actually, no, wait. These are different versions. But, yeah, you can usually find them for really cheap. So, yeah.
Make sure they're in English, because I'm not going to get something that I think is English and German. Like, wait, what the?
Oh, hey, this one's not so bad. It's a cent for with, it's 1 cent for the book with $3.99 for the shipping, so a total of $4.
That's not bad.
But yeah, it looks like it's used. It's like the most of them are like some use and wear, book in good condition. So, you know, if you don't mind them being, you know, don't mind, you can choose between several of them. There are several ones that are only a cent.
Well, mine is you. All the manga I have are used. I've read through all of them.
And yeah.
They still feel like new. It's only if they're bent or somewhere.
Yeah, so, well, just read the descriptions and be safe with that, and then you'll be good to go. So you have ways to get that. I'm just glad that I bought the entire series when it was still in print. Yeah. But yeah, they also have some where they're selling it like new ones for like $6 and $3.99 shipping. So you could, you know, you could get some that are new for not too much, but you know, if you just want to read them, then the used ones are your best bet here.
Okay.
So, all right, well, I think that wraps it up on our discussion of Evangelion. And in the future, we will, well, we'll come back once Volume 14 comes out, and we will
when be... When it comes out.
Yeah, when. If. No, but
I wouldn't say if, I say when.
Yeah.
Because they can't just stop, oh, we're not going to release Volume 14, but you finish the series, you finish the manga, what's the point of not releasing it in Tankobon?
I don't know, I could see if the Volume 13 sales didn't do well enough for them to put up the cost of printing it in a volume form. Maybe that would be why, but I don't see how that could possibly be possible. But, yeah, and at some point in the future, we'll look into
reviewing. That's like cheating the buyers on you. They bought Volume 13 through 14. I mean,
I'm not saying it'd be right, but, yeah. You know, there's a reason why they might. So, yeah, poetry. But, yeah, so, yeah, we'll also be going over some of the spin-off series for Evangelion. Not right now, because at the moment, we need to focus on One Piece as much as possible. And
oh, yeah, One Piece.
Yeah, once we get that sorted out, we'll kind of once we get that sorted out, we'll see what we can do there. But I don't know. I'm voting we go over Angelic Days first because one, it's the cheapest ones that you can get, and two, I already have the volumes. So
and three, we kind of need to change from the whole the precedent is
so yeah. This one's. Depressing. It's the word is depressing, not depression. Jeez, depression is the noun. Depressing is the adjective. Use the adjective.
Depressing.
There you go. But I think they know what you were trying to say. Move on. But
food.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So basically. Yeah, we'll probably get into that one. I think the Shinji Ikari Raising Project one would be a good one to go over just because that one's a comedy, so it'd be really weird to look at the series like Evangelion in comedy format. So, yeah, we'll have like comedy format, romance format, and then we'll also have a let's see what else we'll, yeah, and then the third one is kind of
like an actual battle manga in a way or something.
Sort of. A little bit, not really, but yeah, sort of. So, alright, well, I think that wraps us up on the review, so we'll go ahead and take a break here and move on to the next topic. It's time for the manga commentary for the week for all those delicious chapters that came out. And speaking of delicious, let's start with Toriko chapter 264, back from its several week-long hiatus. The Gourmet World arc has finally begun as Toriko rushes in to save Komatsu and brave the I'm so sorry, I can't stop myself from laughing. What the hell happened this chapter?
I don't know. I thought we just skipped something.
Yeah, did we like miss 2 years worth of manga here or what?
4 years.
I mean, yeah.
This take 2 years.
How long did the Hueco Mundo arc take for Bleach or the Soul Society arc? I mean, good gosh.
So Saiden took about, I guess, 3 years, but Hueco Mundo took about 8 years.
Son of a bitch, I didn't realize it was that long. No wonder we were pissed.
The Iran card took 8 years.
Son of a bitch.
When they were introduced to the point where they never became much of a thing anymore. Like, what?
Oh dear, that's lovely. Alright, but well, this chapter of Toriko starts out pretty good. You know, I mean, the whole introduction of the Gourmet World is pretty awesome. I mean, it's, you know, this is something that we've been waiting for so long. And you see Toriko gathering food, surviving in the gourmet world, no problem. So he's like, okay, some time has passed. He's become used to this. And then he goes back to his stash where he keeps his food, and suddenly turns out that we realize that, no, Toriko still doesn't really cook much, but he's had someone cooking for him. Looks like Komatsu is back.
What the crap?
What? This was certainly unexpected, but I'm not one for getting a rescue arc. I kind of hate those, actually. But I feel kind of robbed here. Like, there's something missing. It's like we established that whole thread of Komatsu has been captured. Oh, no, Toriko must save him. And then we don't even get to see him save him. We just skip to Toriko already having saved him.
Somehow. I thought, like, is Toriko dreaming?
Well, okay, now if it turns out it'd be a dream, I'd be like, okay, well played. But here's the thing, though. It wouldn't be like it would be this whole, oh, Toriko's going to go up and fight them for Komatsu. I mean, Midoriya said he can go. I'm pretty sure it would just be Toriko shows up and is like, I'm here for Komatsu. And Midoriya was like, yeah, take him. It's like, wait, what? And that would be really anticlimactic, and it kind of would be a waste of time to bother with that. But at the same time, I kind of would have at least liked to have seen that, you know, just because it would have been really funny, actually.
They'll probably mention it sometime later on.
I mean, there is that bit at the end of the chapter where we see something that we're supposed to, you know, focus on, as in it's like, oh, this is something important, but we don't know what it is yet, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Right, but yeah, overall, I mean, it was a good chapter.
Chocolate Rain.
Yeah, the opening was nice. It was very nice. It felt very classic Toriko, but at the same time, I still have to say, what? Did we miss something here?
Yeah, like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Really confused.
Yeah, it was quite confusing. Odd chapter. Odd way to start back up. It wasn't what I was expecting at all. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Right, well, let's move on to One Piece chapter 736, Supreme Officer Diamante. And I do like that opening cover with Nami being robbed by these two cats.
Oh, yeah.
That was amusing. I like it. And let's see. Well, so it looks like we start off with the fight with, you know, just kind of get introduced again to all the characters, and we get to meet Diamante for the first time, and
okay, he looks really tall, and he looks about like a
Pokemon. Oh, gee, a tall person in One Piece, you don't say.
I know, but still, his legs are like really thin, and I'm just reminded of Brooklyn, and so
I'm also kind of reminded that there is a race called the Long Leg Tribe in this
series. Oh, yeah.
Kind of like that one guy, Baron Tamago, from Big Mom's group.
Oh, yeah. Wait, who?
You know, the guy that
No,
looks like an egg on stilts?
oh, I only remember the guy from the Long Island area.
No, not
Or.
him. No, I mean, there are literally people with long legs.
Oh, okay.
But, And so we find out that Diamante ate the flag fruit, and he can basically turn anything into make it malleable.
So wait, why does he want to flee? Oh no, he's a champion.
Well,
So.
he, I don't know, he does, we know he doesn't want it for himself. He's just there to, keep other people from actually winning it, because I'm pretty sure Doflamingo doesn't want to give it away.
And Bartholomew already ate the, what was the food again?
I don't know,
Barrier,
until,
barrier, barrier,
that's it.
barrier.
Oh yeah, I was about to say the wall
So
fruit.
basically,
The
only
wall
Mr.
fruit. Wah
Mysterious,
wah.
Lucy, and Jess Burgess and Rebecca are the ones who have not eaten the food. So
Pretty much. Well,
they have a chance.
we already know Bartolomeo was going to give it to Luffy anyway, so,
True.
and
So.
we know why why Lucy wants it. It's pretty obvious. And Rebecca wants it because she needs power to overthrow Doflamingo, basically, or at least that's what I assume her motivation is.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it just me, or does Diamante look really familiar? Like,
An Indian guy?
no. Think more, he could be the father of a certain elf.
Legolas?
No, not the fictional father of the elf, but the actual father of the actor playing the elf.
Will Ferrell?
Points for creativity, but you're still a son of a bitch. No, this elf was considerably sexier. And don't you say Orlando Bloom again.
Elrond?
Well, no accounting for taste, but what the hell, Mo?
I
No.
don't know.
You're getting close, though.
Wait, what, the female one?
Yes, the female one. The she-elf.
I don't remember her name.
Ah,
Arwen?
there you go. Now, what was the actress's name?
I don't know.
Seriously?
I don't know.
Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler?
Yes. Now, what's her father's name? What is
John
that?
Tyler?
You're making a fool of yourself, and so
I don't know.
will I be if I'm thinking of the wrong person.
Wait. You mean that was Liv Tyler?
The actress that played Arwen, yes, was Liv
I had
Tyler.
no idea.
Now, what's her father's name?
Steven Tyler?
Okay, now go Google his picture.
Oh my God, you're right.
I know, right?
Aerosmith.
Yes, him.
I didn't realize that.
But seriously, I was looking at it and I'm just like, this guy looks so familiar. What the heck? And then it was just, oh yeah. It was like, oh my gosh, that's really funny. But yeah.
It's kind of funny how I know this might have been mentioned before, but just because I tend to forget things, but they say how the Logia Devil Fruit strongest of the three types, the flame fruit, and I'm like, strongest of the three types.
Well, the Logia type is the strongest, not the flame fruit specifically,
Oh,
obviously. Otherwise, Ace would still be around.
Man, I remember people went nuts over there. Like, wait, what? Oh my
Yeah,
God, yeah.
it's like that
I'm
didn't.
just really upset when he got a punch in the stomach.
I
People
guess,
upset over the whole way, the
yeah.
type thing.
I guess it sort of works one because I'm pretty sure that Akainu is way more powerful than him. I mean, obviously. But also, when you think about it, fire itself isn't necessarily that hot, you know?
No.
It's possible to get certain materials hotter than your average fire is. I mean, fire can get really hot. But you can still, like, magma gets really, really hot. No, let's look this up. Magma temperature. Average fire temperature. Sure. All right, let's see.
Okay. We'll
right,
see.
let's see. Oh, actually, I better average magma temperature. All right, let's see. Fire. Okay, well, it can kind of depend, obviously, but we're talking about 2,000 degrees Celsius to like 13,000, 16,000. I mean, it can get a lot hotter, but the average magma temperature. Where is it? The average temperature of lava. Let's see, the temperature varies. Oh, well, I guess, yeah, 900 degrees to 1500 degrees Celsius. Okay, that doesn't make any sense at all then. But I think, yeah, there's still a legitimate argument in that. How can a solid completely destroy fire like that? I mean, I don't know. That's still weird. But anyway,
So the amount of slice of food, that sounds like, okay, so it says it ripples as though by a breeze. And basically it says, I can cause any object I touch to ripple no matter its qualities. And I'm thinking.
Okay.
A ripple? Oh,
I know what you're getting at.
I don't know what I was getting at anymore. Anyway, but yeah, JoJo. I was like, okay, this guy's gonna be tough.
JoJo?
Yes, JoJo.
Indeed. Yes, this will be interesting. That's definitely a creative power. But yeah, we also find out that the flame fruit is on one of the alpha males of the fighting fish groups, who they don't give a crap, they will go after anyone. So not only do you have to win, you also have to get the fish to let go of the fruit. So
also notice how Lucy is wearing, I think, sunglasses.
Yeah, he is wearing sunglasses, so we don't get to see his eyes, but also notice how he has a scar.
Yeah, I just know that scar though.
Yeah, so what that might be suggesting that Lucy is the character that will be wearing an eye patch, as Oda mentioned that a character will be having an eye patch after the time skip, like years ago when he mentioned that.
Wait, what?
Yeah. He said that one of the characters that was introduced will have an eye patch.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking it's probably going to be Lucy. All right, so I think my favorite part of the chapter was easily as they were sneaking around and everyone, they're like, hey, where's Luffy? And he's like, what's that fish doing? He's like, gum, gum! And he just immediately blows their cover. It's awesome. I mean, it's just classic Luffy, and I'm amazed that Zoro is actually getting angry at him, because I'm like, you know, you can fight your way through anything too, but I guess with the absence of Nami or Usopp, you need somebody to get angry at him. Which, yeah, it's not normally something you really get to see from Zoro that often. Usually he's just like, whatever, just follow along. And yeah,
he was probably like, damn, I want to get on this.
Yeah, and he's like, might as well. Just starts cutting things. And notice how Kinemon disappears. Like, right after Luffy breaks down the wall, or the gate, and then as they're fighting their way in, Kinemon is nowhere to be seen. So, I wonder what he might be up to.
He just disappeared as they went on their way in. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I think he might be at, trying to find Kanjuro on his own. So
yeah, he's trying to find.
That's most likely. Or I don't know. Honestly, I'd say a really cool twist would be that. that Kinemon is actually working for Doflamingo. I mean, talk about it. That would be an awesome twist. And it would actually work because he would. If, say, for example, Viola suddenly turns out to be a traitor, you'd be like, she was just introduced to this arc. What do we care? But Kinemon has been around long enough. I mean, just for an arc, but just long enough that we've come to trust the character as a good guy. So if he was a traitor, it'd be kind of like the Robin effect. You know, how it turned out that she was, that, you know, or the Nami effect, basically. I mean, this is not this is something Oda has done before, so.
That is true, that is true, but will it work again? Because it would make sense because Kinemon's friend Kanjuro is, you know, captured, and he's got to do whatever it takes to get him free, even if it means betraying people he just got the trust of.
Yeah, exactly, and I mean, Doflamingo has, you know, has leverage over him, so you could easily see him going that route. And he would be the perfect guy for Zoro to fight this arc. Man, I'm actually kind of hoping that happens.
There's way too many officers in mine.
Well, yeah, but still, I would think it would really be an excellent bit of writing if Oda decides to do that. And you can always have him still be a good guy at the end. I mean, that's what's happened the last two times, something like that happened.
Yeah, Kinemon is missing. Interesting. Yeah,
so, you know, he might be up to something. Alright.
And Doflamingo's reaction.
I was just like, oh, they're starting to get under his skin. And he's just like, who the hell is that? When he finds out that Luffy is in the... Everyone's insisting that Luffy is in the castle. And he's just like, who the hell is that guy that's in the Colosseum then? And they're all, I don't know. Yeah, and then we find out that... Turns out that the toy soldier is in had a bit of bad luck because Lao Ji is there and he's beating the crap out of him. Like, severely.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's the two panels where the bug was about to go at him and he just puts glass on and just, punched it or something?
He was punching a lot of things, so I'm going to assume he was punching it.
He was punching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was kind of cool. And let's see what else. Yeah, there's a lot happened this chapter.
Then
we kind of end with just Pika appearing out of the wall, or appearing as the wall.
Surprise!
And I'm just like, jeez, have we seen this guy before?
I think it was I think he was kind of mentioned that, you know, where they were talking about the officer, but I don't know. I think they only close up, so we couldn't really tell what he can.
Right. But yeah, my guess is that he has the ability to kind of absorb things that he touches and kind of become one with them. Mm. So.
Absorb, meld, mix, no. Sink. I'm trying to think of how old it would name it. Get it right.
I'll just wait until he actually names it.
No.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest two-pages spreads we've gotten from One Piece in a while. Just overall, I mean, jeez. The giant rock monster. It's a rock monster. Sorry.
Yeah, I like the clothes Luffy and Zoro are wearing.
Yeah, they have the sunflower print shirt for Luffy and just a regular suit for Zoro.
I mean, Luffy did wear the sunflower shirt before he entered the Colosseum and all that, you know, disguise, but... Mm-hmm. Wait, did he? No.
He was.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Well, and that was that chapter. I mean, it was really, 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 really good. And so, that was a chapter, all right. I loved it. This was one of the better One Piece chapters that I've seen, so... I a big fan, much adore, much like. Such success. Indeed. Alright, well, let's move on to World Trigger, shall we?
Yep, it's back.
World Trigger, chapter 47. And yeah, so I guess there's Pan recovered pretty quickly. Odd. Or maybe they had some they were like a couple weeks ahead, so they, you know, took a break and spread it out with chapters
that have been done.
So we get get to see some more with the neighbors, the humanoid neighbors, and we see they're talking about how they're trying to colonize Meden, which definitely sounds like a reference to Eden, and I guess we can assume that Earth is basically the best place to live out of all the cosmos, so that's why they're trying to invade. And this chapter was kind of, it was okay, not my favorite World Trigger chapter. I did get a little annoyed at those two agents that were going after Yuma, just because like, oh, he's a neighbor. It's like, dude, have you not heard about the neighbor that's on your side, you morons? Oh, well, I guess it didn't get announced, but, you know, it is kind of like, yeah, I'm using Black Trigger, it's kind of an emergency, yo, which... Yeah, it kind of is, but... Yeah.
Still, man, he's on your side. Like, dude, he attacked that thing. Oh, this guy attacked that thing. Maybe he's trying to betray you. I'm like, dude, he attacked that thing. If he was trying to betray you, he would attack you already.
Yeah, it's, well, I don't think they saw that. I think they just saw neighbor with a humanoid neighbor with a black trigger. But still, this goes to show why you don't want your frickin' army to be all teenagers. I mean, I'm
Wait. Is it because the suit turned black or something?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, they do mention that the suit turns black because he used the black trigger.
Oh.
So that was, you know, that was kind of what tipped them off.
That's true. Yuma's suit was just white a while ago, and then it turned black.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, it's actually pointed out. That's why he has it.
I didn't realize that. I really look at everything, and I still don't get everything in the first shot, or the second, or the third.
Better read them four times.
Oh.
Yeah, but still, this was the ending on this chapter was just kind of like, whoa. What the crap happened? They just rammed these two Ilgar bombers into the border building and just like, oh, geez, that's bad. So definitely it had an annoying moment, but it did build up some interesting, some good suspense for the series. So looking forward to seeing what we get next.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about Nisekoi Chapter 108, Question.
Okay, this chapter...
Yeah, well, this one, as she realizes that, you know, you know, if Ichijo and Kirisaki have been fake dating, then, you know, she realizes, oh, that's why my sister is, you know, likes him and it isn't cheating because, you know, he's not actually dating anyone. And then she also realizes, wait a minute, maybe if he isn't a liar like I thought. And then she starts thinking, oh, so he said that he's my Prince Charming. What if that is true too? And then by the end of the chapter, after they spent some time together because he was sent out to look for her by her friend, she ends up asking him, are you my Prince Charming? And I'm just like, please don't make her one of the harem girls, because... I already don't care for her. This would just be that's wonderful. You're going after the guy that you just found out is not dating this one girl, and you realize that your sister is head over heels for him. So
yeah, I wouldn't like that, because I've already had to deal with. I remember the Mao Sensei Nagima. I mean, that one was because it was two friends, but this one would be two sisters.
I know, right?
Like, regardless, it's just, you know, because when we found out in. Mom says Negi went, no, no, girl. It's like, oh, I like Negi. And Negi's like, you can 10 years old.
Yeah, 4 years old.
4 years younger, 5 years younger than her? I don't know. And then she finds out that her best friend, Yue, was like, oh, I like him too, but she doesn't really voice on. She's like, oh, I'll support him. I'm like, wait, what? I mean, from a mature viewpoint, that's actually very, you know, good, because it means she's not too stuck on it. But,
yeah,
I kind of don't want Haru to become one of the girls.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for me. It would be, well, one, she's not exactly a great character. So her getting that kind of focus and that being one of her character traits would be pretty bad. I'd not be a fan of it. So here's hoping that doesn't happen, because I don't want an excuse to have more of her in that kind of way. That would be...
Well, the problem is she was very infatuated with her Prince Charming, so...
Yeah. Hopefully, in the next chapter, we get to see that she, you know, realizes, oh, wait a minute, this is the guy that my sister has liked forever, so maybe I shouldn't go after him just because that one time he saved me or whatever.
You're just being nice, like every guy that tried to be nice.
I know, yeah. It's like her... attraction to him.
No, you're being good version.
Yeah, well, her attraction to him is definitely a lot more shallow than her sister, who has been who's been noticing all the little things about him that she likes for years. While with Haru, it's just, look, he saved me. Oh, what a Prince Charming. No other person could ever possibly do something like this for me. And suddenly she's like, I'm head over heels for him. It's like, you better remember that this is the guy that your sister was in love with for years, and if you pursue this path, you will ruin your relationship with your sister. I'm just saying.
Or they might actually, like I said before, they might go, oh, we have to understand, we're just trying to work together.
That doesn't
yeah,
work.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know it won't work.
That never works. It really doesn't, unless you move
but
to
But the
Utah.
Problem is the series has the tone of, you know, not too being too serious all the time. At
well,
times.
True, but still, this is, that's, it's a direction I don't want to go, because
I know.
I already know how who I'm going to root for. There's no way in hell, there's no way in freezing hell that I'm going to ever root for Haru in this situation. Not only is she a lousy character, but she is a... Or, well, not a lousy character. She's just kind of boring the way she's used most of the time. But, two, she kind of doesn't have a reason for, you know, actually being a legit, having a legitimate claim
Unless
or anything
pulls
like
out
that.
A freaking
so.
Locket, too. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah, but, yeah, anyway. Yeah, well, anyway, that's us getting a little too into shipping, which we said we don't. Whoops.
Shipping for me is just...
It's just the story. Yeah.
It's just I don't want to see something I didn't like before in another story in another series I like.
Yeah, it has damaged other series pretty badly in the past. So, all right, well, let's move on to All You Need Is Kill, Chapter 3, where
I like this one.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I like seeing how, you know, he's getting better and better, and he's going like 47 times.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
more like,
and it's kind of interesting how he, you know, they do this whole, it's like, oh, the only thing that can kill these is this pile driver, but it only has 20 shots. I'm like, that seems like a bit of a problem there. You run out, and then suddenly you're dead. Just saying.
True.
So it kind of makes me think, it's like, why don't they make these battle axes standard issue, yo?
Because they're heavy and they're like, oh, these are special.
Yeah. Or why even bother with the guns at all? I mean, seriously.
But yeah, the funny thing when I was reading the whole loop, and hey, it's kind of like me because like how I play games, I lose badly, and I learn again, I still lose badly. Okay, I learned this much. I'm like, okay.
Then you pay money to buy actual gear to give you an edge. Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, I guess. I'm sorry.
But yeah, and we And we also meet this new character, Shasta Rael, however that goes. But, yeah, she's basically, I guess, a scientist or a mechanic or something.
She's a mechanic.
She's the one that built the battle axe that Rita uses. But I'm noticing a bit of a pattern of the girls are all a very specific archetype of cute. You know what I mean? And so like this seems unrealistic. Mm-hmm. To have this many, I mean, honestly, a lot of times you look at these characters and you just kind of think, these are serving a very specific fetish, and they're all in the same series. This is very odd, needless to say. So, I mean, it's a nice design, but it still feels a little, I think I can figure out why you chose that design, why you chose those other ones. Oh, boy. But that being said, that aside, the rest of the chapter was really awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
I definitely like this series, and I'm actually looking forward to the movie a lot now. Well done.
Sometimes he's the bad guy, and he's like, hey, wait, what?
Except here's the thing. How is he... I mean, unless they can make a battle axe in, like, an hour, how is he going to have it?
True.
Because, you know, in general, making massive weapons like that takes some time. So how is he going to get it and keep it? He's going to have to go and get her to make him one every single time. You know? Like, every time he resets, he's going to need to go and get her to make
He'll
a new battle
still
axe. So it's kind of like, how is he supposed to... I mean, I know it's a better weapon for him and everything, but how is he supposed to keep it?
You probably can still read those or borrow read those or something.
I doubt that, but you know, I mean, he's telling he wants a new one made, so he's gonna have to go and repeat that every single time. Say, hey, make me a new one, make me one of these axes, and then somehow manage to get it back from her. It's sort of like, wait, if he has to sneak by the guards to get to the person who makes the axes. And then so he's not supposed to be there. Why would he think that she would make one for him if he is not supposed to be there? You know? I'm just saying.
Maybe see intimidation, and she's like, oh, is that serious? Oh, I better do research. I don't know.
Yeah, or something like that. I don't know. I'll let it pass. But, yeah, good chapter. I liked it.
Yeah.
All right, now, Bleach, chapter 566.
What is your fear?
None of your damn business. No, but, yeah. So, yeah, we kind of, basically, Renji is kind of goes over the plan where after they defeat someone, they have to hide, hide their presence and everything. So he falls asleep, and then that weird one of the Sternritter.
Nakanura Nura Bumba Nomza Indian guy with a weird name. Starts to end.
Yeah, he's kind of been watching him all night, and he's like, oh, I would expect someone to take a nap, so I watched him, but dude was sleeping all night. What the heck, is he stupid? And then Rukia runs into the Sternritter that, you know, the one that stole Yakuya's Bankai.
It's Nanana Najaku.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to remember that name.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and basically Rukia ran into Asnolt, and yeah, he guys is all, I control fear, but apparently it doesn't work on Rukia for some reason. So, yeah. It was an alright chapter, though I do think the whole, does not feeling fear bring you fear or something? I was like, that's a bit of a mouthful, okay. How is she not scared? I don't know. But
I don't know. I guess it's because the last time she lost, she got stabbed.
True. Remember. I don't know. But yeah, it's an alright chapter. I mean, it's not great, but yeah. So, alright, shall we talk about Seraph of the End, Vampire Ring. Yeah. So, I would just like to say again that this was another one of those, I just want to say in general, that this was another one of those chapters that made me hate Yuichiro more. It's like you take all of the stereotypes of a shonen protagonist, you know, the unwillingness to listen to the other people, and a bit of stupidity, and you take away anything charming about the shonen protagonist, and you get Yuichiro, where all the flaws that you ignore in other characters make you hate this son of a bitch even more.
What flaws did he have again?
Well, just being this typical loud shonen protagonist, not thinking of plans all the way through, always going by heart.
He tried to drive, but I'm going to drive.
Yeah, that.
I'm like, dude, if that was a real driving school, you'd fail. You're like, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I will say it was a bit amusing when Shinoa tries to drive, but it turns out she can't because she's short.
My foot can't reach the pedal off.
Yeah, and it's just,
okay, don't make fun of it anymore.
Yeah, and it is kind of weird where they mention, do you need a license? Don't you need a license? And I'm like, dude, you are in a post-apocalyptic setting. Why don't you act like it?
Okay, there was a part where, I forgot his name, the glasses guy.
I don't care, I'm not going to learn it.
Kurumi, I don't know his name. He basically, like, took two wires and connected it. Oh, yeah, so I'm like, dude, why do you need a license if you can just do that? Heck, where do you learn to do that?
Good point. I don't know. I guess he just picked it up somewhere because he's a troubled youth and they need to learn how to hotwire cars, even in a world where cars are sparse.
Also, gasoline is precious.
Yeah, wait, what? Still on gas in it. Who knew? But, yeah, so they run into a vampire who is, you know, one of those, aha, look at how powerful the enemies can become. Oh, look, here's a reason for me to leave and not kill you. Bye. Yeah, but I don't know. Did not care for this chapter. It was another one of those ones that just made me kind of hate the characters all over again.
Yeah.
Yuichiro with his, I am every shonen protagonist ever except there's nothing likable about me, and Shinoa with her, I am funny and adorable and quirky, and I'm saying, no, you're not. You're trying to force it, but you're not.
He is trying to force it.
I know, it's like just it's irritating as hell.
But then there was that big one when they found that one vampire and she's like terrified, like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, I mean that was a pretty decent moment, but I mean then they had to go and do the whole it was like I'll kill you next time. I was like, why not now? It would literally take
next
you a minute.
Wait, isn't Dragon Ball?
No, it isn't. Don't you insult Dragon Ball.
I won't. But you know, Goku's a horrible father.
Yes, we have mentioned that.
And husband.
We have mentioned that. That's not relevant right now, though. So. Oh, yeah, and then I guess there was a little bit of a love triangle thing going on. I'm like, even the love triangles feel contrived.
I don't know. I just saw, like, okay, there could be something here.
Yeah, but it's like, you're trying to make me root for one or two of them. It's not going to work. I don't like any of them. It's like, it'd be like me shipping, like, the worst villain ever from the worst manga ever with the worst female protagonist from any other manga ever. It's not going to happen. I hate them all. I'm not going to be invested.
I asked you what the name was those were, but okay.
Don't you dare. I don't want people to know of this, of the filth that exists.
I don't even remember, but okay.
Yeah, but... Right,
so, it was an okay chapter. Yeah. Okay for me. He didn't like it. Okay for me.
I did not care for it, no.
He didn't care for me.
No. Right, let's talk about Dragon Ball Z Chapter 49, Destination Namek.
Okay, this one finally was like, okay, we're finally going to Namek. And I'm like, okay, so how did they get there? How did they find their way? Well, they just like... Fine.
What?
Okay.
Sorry, no. Yeah, well, the manga will explain it itself, so...
Yeah,
it's in a very roundabout, amusing kind of way.
Yeah. So, basically, Goku talks to King Kyle about, okay, where can we find this Namek, and then all of a sudden, somehow, telepathically, everyone can hear, and, oh, they're listening to, okay, that makes it easier. I'm like, oh, wait, what? Okay, I guess. Okay, even the cat in here, but okay, let the cat stop me a little bit. And he mentions how, like, Namek apparently was dead and is alive again or something.
Yeah, it's like most of the Namekians had died, but some of them survived and they're thriving.
Well, we've seen Piccolo. If he's Namekian, we can tell how they can live again.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Piccolo dies too, as we noticed.
Yeah, and then it turns out that even with the fastest engine bombs that they make, it would take a 4,000 years to reach Namek. And I'm like, no, it's not.
No, yeah, that's not going to happen. Well, that would be pretty amazing if they, like, put them into suspended animation, and then by the time they arrived, everyone they knew was dead anyway.
And then, as they're traveling, we get the SpongeBob time part, and it says 4,000 years later, and it's like,
that would be amazing.
And everyone's skeleton is like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, I think the universe is doomed now.
Yeah, pretty much Frieza would have been all, like, finished everything off and just come by to destroy Earth. But, yeah.
But then it turns out that they found one to save, one to change it, and that was a funny moment where... They were like, it was on TV. Was, okay, so where's the Saint Seiya? I don't know where it is. I just found the button to control it. And Bulma was like, okay, I know how to do it. And then she pressed the button. And then somehow on TV, the thing exploded. And they're like, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Whoops.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, whoopsie-dee, whoopsie-doodle.
And then just by stroke of luck, of course, as both of us would already know, they somehow managed to get there, and that's through Miss Popo pretty much telling them, hey, I found a spaceship.
Yeah, one thing that it's also worth pointing out is that they do mention how it's not possible for the dragon to do anything that its creator can't do.
Yeah.
So I'd just like to point out, so, you know, that's why they couldn't just wish the Saiyans dead, because, you know, Kami couldn't destroy them.
Can you wish Frieza dead? No, I can't do that.
No, but which makes me think, okay, so they're limited based on the power of their creator. so they can't do anything that their creator can't already do. So what they're saying is that Kami had the power to raise people from the dead all along, without having being bound by one wish only is what you get. He could literally do this whenever he wants. And yet the bastard still makes them go search for the Dragon Balls every single time.
He's like, hey, can you learn with friends? No, I can't do that. You can get Dragon Balls. Okay.
Yeah. And he's like, man, they're stupid enough to think to not connect the dots that anything the dragon can do, it can only do what I can do, and it can raise people from the dead.
I love my life.
He's like, I love my life, and you people can't because you don't have life because you're dead. Oh, wait, so am I. Ooh, this sucks. But seriously, I'm pretty sure that's not what Toriyama had in mind. But at the same time, if the dragon is limited by the power of its creator, then you would assume that it can do what the creator can do. So if it can raise the dead, so can the creator. And last I checked, he was not bound by the single wish policy. In fact, I guess it could be like he has the power to do so, but not the ability. Like, you know, he has to, like, if he knew how, he could, but he doesn't know how, and he has to focus it through the Dragon Balls or something. I don't know. It's weird and not really explained, so, oh well.
Yeah, I didn't finish the Dragon Balls. I was like, yeah, that's confusing. I don't want to confirm how to even clarify that. Or even, since you read the series before me, anyway, you read it entirely through, so you would know better.
Yeah.
And you've seen the series too, I'm sure.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I've seen several episodes, yes, but alright, well, let's see. What else do we have to talk about? Did we want to read through the one-on-one with Masashi Kishimoto, or should we just let people that actually read the manga go read it? It's like, hey, there's an interview with Masashi Kishimoto. Go read it.
Yeah, I guess it could have hurt to read it. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, biased.
He
is a good person after all.
I know. I'm not saying, oh, we're not going to read it because we don't like him. It's more like, this is a pretty long interview.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the other interview was a little more confusing because of the editors. I'm like, I don't know who these guys are.
Yeah, there are multiple different editors, and I'm like, okay. Well, let's go ahead and read it. What the heck? I will read. No. Wait. What we will do is, do you want to read the questions, or do you want to read?
Do you want to be Kishimoto, or do you want me to be Kishimoto?
I honestly don't care.
Okay. I'll read the questions, you answer them. You read what you respond.
Shit.
Oh.
No, just go ahead. You be Alexis Kirsch, the Weekly Shonen Jump manga editor.
How does it feel to be the creator of one of the most popular manga in the world?
Well, surprisingly, I don't see as much money of what you're saying I apparently created. Oh, wait, am I supposed to read it from this thing?
Yeah, you're supposed to read it from this thing.
Oh, you mean I'm not Masashi Kishimoto?
No, you're not.
I was wondering why I've been so disappointed with the series. All right, well, it's never really hit me that it's so popular worldwide. Accidental racist reading. Worldwide. Oh, I'm awful. I rarely go outside because I'm constantly working on the series, so it's not something I notice. It almost feels like it doesn't have anything to do with me.
Oh, sure it doesn't. Okay, question. What about when you come to events like Jump Festa?
Yes, when I come to events like this, I feel it a little bit. And I've been receiving fan mail from around the world in the local languages. That clues me in a bit. But I just don't have the feeling inside of me that my series is so popular.
So even he understands it's not popular enough.
No, it's more like the feelings of all the detractors are being psychically beamed to his head. And he's like, I'm terrible. My series is awful. And I'm like, I'm so sorry we're doing that to you.
Just finish it, and then you can at least say, yeah, I finished something. How's that?
Well, man.
Okay.
I don't know. I think going on, even if he doesn't finish it, going along on with the series for this long counts as finishing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Karen, all right, next
one. Okay, next question. If you could go back in time to when it first started and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be?
That would be something like, hey, put in more ideas ahead of time that can be expanded on later, otherwise you're going to be in trouble, something like that. that's good advice. That's really good advice. We'll have to see if whether he implements it with his next series.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. How do you balance a family with a tough serialization schedule?
My family is very important to me. I really want to spend special days like birthdays and Christmas with them, but drawing manga takes so much time that I usually spend the nights at my studio. Other manga artists might get a lot of help. Once they've become popular, but creators in Shonen Jump like to do most of the work themselves, and that goes for me as well. So my family is being sacrificed a bit while I focus on my work. I'm a little worried that my kids might rebel because of it. Yeah, that's kind of a serious issue right there, but
yeah.
Moving on.
Well, at least his family's still together. Okay, next question. What is the most important quality for someone who wants to become a manga artist?
I would say that it's guts. Being a manga artist means you have to keep persevering. A lot of people in Japan who want to become manga artists, but only those with guts who never give up are able to achieve it. Talent is important, of course, but I think guts is even more pivotal.
That's true.
Indeed.
No matter how bad you think you suck, no matter how bad you think people might think you suck, as long as you keep on going, it doesn't matter.
Quite true, quite true. Even when it becomes difficult and you'd rather be playing a game of Diablo 3 instead of recording the podcast, writing the manga. What?
Okay, after 10 years, how do you maintain the passion to continue?
Well, come on, the podcast hasn't been on that long. Oh!
Yeah.
Well, for me, quality podcast audio. Well, for me, I have my identity. My reason for existing is tied to it because creating manga is all I can do. I am afraid of losing that. And that's connected to guts. That's what keeps me from quitting. It's like my fear keeps me going. I don't want to change.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. That's a good response right there.
True. Yeah.
How does it feel when you receive a break and don't draw for a few days?
To be honest, I don't really get the I have to draw feeling anymore during breaks. But if I do get a long break and don't draw for 3 days, I start to feel uneasy. I feel like I shouldn't be wasting my time. I guess it's become an obsession for me.
Well, that's a good habit. You always want to draw no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, next question. You've done a couple of one-shots, Mario and Bench, which previously ran in the English edition of Weekly Shonen Jump. Were these just for fun, or were you testing out the waters for your next manga?
Part of it is for fun, but it's mostly that they're making me do it. Those editors, haha. It was a bit of a change of pace after years of Naruto, but I worked on them while still doing Naruto, so my head got all discombobulated. It would have been nice to get a big break to compensate, but that didn't really happen. Yeah, I kind of feel for you.
It's a shame.
You kind of do deserve a break after working on a manga series and a one shot. After, you know, the one shot is already insanely rigorous. So, yeah.
Okay. Next question: did you get to go to New York for research on Mario?
I wanted to go, but since I wasn't able to, I just made up what New York was like based on any material I could find. So I'm sure natives will say, what the heck is this? I'm not even sure if they have seesaws over there.
Well, I'm quite sure they do, but he actually did a pretty dang good job considering he'd never been there. Well, and that actually makes me feel like, you know, the excuse of, oh, I've never been to Japan, I've never been to Germany, I can't do the same. Well, dude, just read the freaking books and find the buildings and just make it
your own. Well, to be fair, we've never been to New York either, so we have no idea if he got it right.
Well, I've never been to New York either. I've been to Sacramento and Los Angeles.
That doesn't count.
But.
Trust me. The California cities are way different from East Coast cities.
Okay.
All right, carry on.
Okay. Are any of your friends or family members inspiration for the characters?
Let's see. Naruto's mom, Kushina, is based a little bit on my wife. She's a bit like that, a little scary, laughs. And then, yeah, and then if you, that's actually kind of funny, because by association, that means that since she's basically a lot like Sakura, that means that his wife is a lot like Sakura. Except without the falling in love with the wrong person part, we would hope.
Yeah.
All right, next one.
How long does it take to finish a page?
Penciling takes about 90 minutes, then another 45 minutes to an hour to ink the page.
Hmm.
Interesting.
But is that just for a day? No, just for a page.
Just a page. No, that's like...
if a page is basically about 18 to 20 pages each, wow, you need about 4 days to do each one.
Sounds about right.
Okay, question. What do you think about Sasuke? Good or bad person?
I think he's a piece of shit. Fine, I'll read the answer. Sasuke is basically a very pure person who doesn't think about whether what he does is good or bad. He just does what he wants to do, which causes trouble for others. He's very self-centered, only concerned with himself. Some people might think that what he's doing is good, like avenging his parents or trying to realize his brother's ideals, but he is troubling others in his pursuit, so that aspect is bad. So it's hard to say with clarity, but it's all about whether it's right or wrong to be so self-centered with your goals. I'd say he's not good or bad, he's just pure.
You didn't even answer the question, what the heck?
Well, now, yeah, here's the thing that I'm thinking right now.
Pure.
That's not the right word. I don't feel that's the right word. I mean, pure what? Pure good? Pure bad? Pure neutral? He's pure selfish? I mean,
pure selfish.
You know, it's not, I mean, he's trying to make Sasuke's very selfish behavior sound like a good thing by saying he is pure, even though he's saying he's not good or bad, he's just pure whatever, that doesn't mean anything.
He just does what he wants to do, which causes some problems.
And that kind of makes you a bad person if you do that. Even if your goals are good for, like, you know, your family or your brother, if you're hurting people along the process, you're a bad person. So I'm just going to call it now. Sasuke is a bad person. I don't care what the creator thinks. He's not got this right. It's just basic. If you hurt people or you bother people in the process of doing something, and these people are good people, you're a bad person. Doesn't matter what your goals are. Anyway, carry on.
Will we ever get to see Kakashi's face under the mask?
I want to review it. I'm just not sure yet on how I'll do it. It might be done in the manga or maybe in an upcoming anime movie. You better not. But there is nothing planned as of yet.
Wait, but upcoming anime movie? I thought we just had Road of Ninja.
There's going to be a lot of movies for this series, Mo.
But the series is going to end.
There's going to be a lot of movies for this series, Mo.
Why?
Shut up. That's
right. Oh, next question. Which character's growth has surprised you the most?
I'd have to say Naruto, I'd say Naruto. Naruto has been growing from the beginning, but now everyone is acknowledging him, and that acknowledgement has led to even more growth.
And I see.
Yeah?
I wonder who's been trying to say Sasuke? No.
No.
Sakura.
A little bit, until he decided to backpedal on that.
Good point. Okay, next one. Besides Naruto, what character would make a good Hokage?
Surprisingly, I think it's great. I'm picking a Hokage-worthy character, and I can't even remember his name. Laughs. It's Konohamaru. He's the grandson of the third Hokage. I think he'd be a good Hokage, you royalist bastard.
What?
He's the son of the former ruler, so he'd be a good son, you monarchistic piece of crap.
Konohamaru kind of does want to, you know.
No royalty! No inheritance and leadership positions! I am American, and all forms of government based on who is related to who is terrible. I mean, just look, none of our politicians have ever been related to each other. Little known fact, despite being father and son, George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. were not actually related because they are American politicians. There is no sense of any kind of dynasty or lineage or royalty, or I don't know what I'm going on about this.
Okay, what about Kiba?
Of course he's not related to George Bush. The hell are you talking about? No, but, okay, Kiba, well, he really loves dogs, so he might be mean to the cat lovers. There was once a shogun like that in the Edo period that loved dogs. He would put people to death if they hurt a dog. Kiba might be like that.
Good God, no.
That's terrible. All right,
next question. If Hancock kicked the puppy, like, sends her to death.
Yeah. Alright.
Okay. What is the first thing that you would do once you finish Naruto?
The thing I'd first do, and it's about 10 years too late, is go on my honeymoon. I haven't gone yet. I want a honeymoon. dude, I'm just saying, one of the main reasons for going on a honeymoon is because you're both young. It's might not quite be the same, but okay, I guess anticipation and all that.
It's like, honey, I'm back. Okay, can we go on a honeymoon now? Okay. You finally finished it, yes.
It's like, oh, finally. I've been on like 5 honeymoons since because I've divorced you and remarried multiple times. Oh, by the way, we got remarried. If I get one more divorce, we get a free frozen yogurt at the marriage bureau. Because apparently that's what hentai artists think about marriage. Is like, oh, my husband is busy. I must go bone random people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Okay. Last question. Do you have a message for the fans about what to look forward to in Naruto?
Naruto is heading towards its ending, and that's all you need to look forward to. It'll finally be gone. Naruto is heading towards its ending, and hopefully I can conclude it on a really strong note. I'd love if everyone could stick with it until the very end, and after that I might do something new, and I hope people will check that out as well. I plan to wrap up Naruto conclusively, so please look forward to it. Okay, that's promising. I like conclusive conclusions.
Indeed. Yeah, so basically this interview was done at the Jump Fest, though.
Yeah, it's a shame they didn't get older, since he's saying that was his last Jump Fest of, but sounds like there's no way for anyone to know that.
Yeah, no.
Kind of sprung that on us, but all right.
Older's a very stupid person, I can understand, because, you know, people knew about him, they'd be bugging him, and then they spoil his stuff, and then... Yeah. I kind of wouldn't like that. I mean, with the thing about Naruto, how the original leader of Akatsuki is supposed to be Naruto's father, basically. Yeah. And then Kishimoto got spoiled from him, and he was like, crap, I think I have to change it up now.
I'm going to have to think. It's like, nah, I have to stop ripping off Star Wars. Dang it. I wanted you to do a, no, Naruto, I am your father.
What?
He's like, no, I don't believe it.
Why? This could have been good.
Oh, that would have been brilliant. Someone do fan art of that, or do a fan comic. Just no.
I'm quite sure someone did that, but oh,
probably. But oh well. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to the other chapters of stuff that we have to talk about. We are going to start off with Assassination Classroom, Chapter 75, Murder Time.
Huh.
All right.
Chapter title.
Yeah, interesting all things. Well, it's somewhat appropriate. I mean, that chat title is appropriate for the series at all times. But, yeah, so this one, basically, you've got the Koro-sensei and all the students trying to help Irina, you know, get Karasuma to notice her. And I kind of like this explanation where she ends up falling for him, even though she was legitimately trying to seduce him. Like, you know, early on, like, trying to use all her seduction tricks, but it didn't work. And then suddenly she was like, I'm in love with him. And it just works so much because the guy is a tense bastard. And, yeah, it's pretty amazing. I love how they do the whole thing where, I mean, I looked up the Raws for this one because I just want to Just wanted to see how
far I only read the raw for this one chapter. I'll read ahead. I like him.
Yeah, but I kind of looked at it, and there was a one gag that I thought was going to be, oh, look, she's wearing your clothes, but she's incredibly sexier in them because she has a bigger bust, and then the girl's all, like, running away with her hands in her, you know, her face in her hands, and all embarrassed, and all. It was like, oh, I'm not as busty as this adult woman, even though I'm a middle school student. Why? My manga artist has failed me. No, but it turns out that she was actually like, oh, here's this very nice, very conservative outfit that I wear all the time. And then Arena puts it up and suddenly, boom, titties.
Too much. And then I'm like, wait, where to stop?
Yeah, and then she's just all embarrassed because it's like, it's not that erotic when I'm wearing it, dang it. And this chapter just had a lot of funny stuff going on, and it's, you know, because the first time I read through it in, like, the raws, and I was like, wait, what's going on? Oh, stuff here is looking dramatic. Oh, no, what does this mean? But then I read what it actually said, and I was like, this is, like, 80% less dramatic than I thought it was. Because it's like, you know, when you read it without knowing what's going on, it's almost like, oh, I love you, but you will never love me, so I will give you up. And then I actually read it, and I'm like, that's not what happened at all. What the crap? But I do love how after a while they just, you know, they end up, you know, they end up saying, it's like, you know what? I think Karasuma's the problem here. And she's just always like, I know, right?
No kidding.
And it is, and you find out, it's like, oh, yeah, it's like, hey, he was mentioning this, he was talking about how great this one idol was, and it's like, oh, what does she look like? It's like this, like, heavy set bodybuilder woman, like, it's a trio of them, and he's like, oh, they have the perfect build, and there's three of them, and everyone's like, they're perfect for combat. And I'm just thinking, it's like, Karasuma is war sexual. I mean, good God. Unless his tastes in women really are such, which, all right, fair enough. But yeah, and then the students basically trick Karasuma into going, you know, eating outside with Arena while they're all spying, and she's trying to, you know, figure out some way to get him, you know, to notice her like that. Telling him about the first time that she killed someone, which was in her home country where this is actually kind of terrible, but, you know, they're having, like, these ethnic wars, and this soldier came in, murdered her parents, and then opened the door where she was, and she hit him in the basement and stayed there until the other soldiers were gone and she could, you know, leave. And it's like, oh, it's like, because seeing that without knowing what's going on or what was being said, I was like, whoa, that's really dramatic. Is she, like, telling him, is like, because I am, it's like, because my, I have lived a dirty life, or my, I have been so, I was soiled in this way from a young age, I cannot love you, or something like that. And then it turns out that she just didn't know what the hell to say, and she just ended up telling him about the first time she murdered someone. And I'm just like, what the crap? And yeah, it was just pretty amazing. At the, she does this whole, like, kisses the end of his napkin and uses it to wipe off his mouth or something, or just, like, you know, does an indirect kiss with it. And then afterwards, he's like, oh, was she trying a new move on me? It's very effective. Karasuma sensei's weakness, denseness.
Not very effective.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh my gosh, this is pretty hilarious. I don't normally get into shipping, but every once in a while I'm like, okay, I enjoy what I saw.
More, well, they're not the main characters, so it's okay.
Yeah, true. It's like, and I kind of like that idea of this whole, the only real romantic focus is on, like, the two adult side characters, which I'm just like, you know what? That works better for me. I'm more interested in a love story between two adults than two middle school students. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but he is basically a middle-aged shonen protagonist who never grew out of the being super dense. And, all right, so, it's time for us to talk about Shokugeki no Soma, Chapter 55, which...
This was a mouthful.
Yeah, there's a lot that happened.
Yeah.
I feel bad for that one woman who is just constantly is just like foodgasming all over the place. And she's like, please, no more. I'm tired. Something's like, I have a headache. No more food. But, yeah, it, I don't know. It's, this is kind of a, oh, hey, that one Mari, that one guy that with the glasses that's always exhausted, he's actually really smart. And he knows spices and can do, like, ancient recipes based off of, you know, literature. And then we had, who else did we have?
Ibusaki Shun.
Who?
Another polar star guy, I think.
Oh, right, that one kid. What did he
do again? the guy whose eyes always never shine.
Oh, right, yeah. What did he do?
He did smoke from...
Oh, yes, now I remember. The smoke stuff. Yeah, and then we end up with the Aldini brothers, you know, facing off against each other, and I'm like, ooh, this looks promising. See what they do. But, yeah, this chapter felt a little bit formulaic in that we're basically getting a lot of, hey, look at the food that they made, and this is why it's amazing. You know what I mean? It's getting a bit formulaic. I'm hoping they find some way to just sort of, like, shake things up and everything. And so, all right, and... Yeah, but other than that, not really much to say about this week's chapter, I don't think. So, all right, was there a Beelzebub chapter this week?
No, sadly there wasn't.
Did we already talk about the one where Baal shows up again and they fight and Satan bonds with, what's his face?
Hang on.
I don't think we talked about that one.
Didn't?
Huh. I don't think so.
We didn't.
I'm pretty sure we didn't, actually. So, we might have to do something about that. Man, that one feels like it was forever ago. What happened? They fought.
Well, yeah. So, Olga gets Belle back, and they fight. And cool. Only Cat Third Eye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that... And it is very much, yeah, it does feel a lot like we're moving into, you know, the final arc. Where it's like, this is the final story, the final battle. Like the series is ending, which is a bit of a shame, but it hasn't quite been as awesome as it was earlier on, which I'm a bit saddened by. So maybe it is time for it to end. We'll have to see what happens. And yeah. So, yeah. Oh, well. It feels like it's... A little bit rushed at the moment is odd, because, I mean, Baal came back way fast. And
just... Okay. There was a panel where one of the guys, I think it was Takamiya, mm-hmm. If you look at his arm, it kind of broke off. His hand.
Whoops.
That would be good.
Friday evenings have become just a lot, and have just become a lot less entertaining.
Well, don't worry. Porgus will fix it up for him. You know, fix it up. I don't like humans, but okay, I'll stitch it up for you.
Okay, yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, overall, it was a good chapter. I didn't enjoy it quite as much as the other one, but, yeah, it was a fight. What can we say?
Olga and Del overpower them.
Yeah, pretty much, so. Yeah, looks like it might be time for us to move on with this series, maybe the next one that he does.
Oh, yeah, and then he just... And then apparently he demolishes a bit of Ishiyama again.
Oh, yeah, and they're like, are we protecting this place? Yeah, quite true. All right, so.
Hang on. Yeah.
All right, shall we move on?
Huh, there's a war going to happen again.
Huh?
Hill was mentioning that there's going to be a war, and there'll be a final battle begins, apparently.
Okay, right. Well, we'll see what happens with that. Having a hard time kind of following the thread of the story with this series for a while. But, all right, let's talk about Fairy Tail, Chapter 369.
Okay. Where prayers go.
Indeed.
Okay, I guess because Mashima puts those pages in.
Right.
I'm going to say I don't like Lucy.
Who? Oh, right.
Saying don't underestimate each other. I'm like, okay, tagline is starting on my nerves.
Yeah, that is kind of
if annoying. If she just stayed chub, I would be fine. But when her magic makes her slim, I'm like, okay, that, you know, you're just showing you don't like.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about. Even, I don't know.
Even Arakawa does that with Silver Spoon.
Alright. Yeah, true, but I don't know. I kind of do like the idea of a character that likes, being a chubby instead of supermodel thin.
That is true because eventually CC doesn't like CC doesn't like being thin. She ends up just going back to being chubby again or something.
Yeah, but oh well. Well, this chapter we do find out that, of course, Jalal isn't dead because Mashima does those fake outs a lot. And this one was actually pretty well done, I'd have to
Kind
say,
of
but
does about Midnight Magic.
yeah, I did forget about it, and I was like, oh, right, yeah. But, oh well, either way, Jalal finishes the fight by saying, hey, I want you guys to join me. After now, I have completely schooled you, now become my bitches, yo.
So wait, does that mean Zero is actually dead? Like he's just lying on the ground dead now.
He's probably actually dead. That would be, I'm like, thank you. But, also, I have to say, the thing with Crawford,
Theme.
the former head,
Chairman.
chairman, literally seconds, milliseconds before he said what he'd done with Jalal's key, I was like, son of a bitch gonna die. Son of a bitch is dead. And then it
I'm like,
happens.
yeah, something's gonna happen, dude. Yeah, oh, he did.
Yeah, and it's like I'm not even mad at Mashima for doing something so predictable. I am a little bit, but I'm just like, you dense bastard. What the hell is wrong with you?
It's like, I was able to take Jalal's key and transfer it to me, so now I have it, I'm the key, and I just transfer it to some nobody in the world, we'll find him and kill him, and bam,
It's
see?
like, or they could kill you, like they did.
Or we just kill you. Kill you, kill me, just like stab me. Oh, okay, we'll just do
Yeah, and
that.
then, yeah, so, yeah, and then face is unleashed, so, big problem. But,
Then there's the part of Elfman kind of.
yeah, he's gonna blow up the guild, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Lisanna. I'm
I'm
just
like,
like, oh, jeez.
yeah.
Well, Kana will probably do something to stop him, I'm pretty
Yeah,
sure. But, yeah, so, all right. Let's see.
good
This,
job.
yeah, it was a good chapter. I enjoyed it overall. It was good. All right, let's talk about Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 64, Strategy to Invade the Kingdom.
But, I mean.
Yes, I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers, man, that's a big butt. That's a little too big for me.
Okay, that okay, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, but so, yeah, we do.
So,
We've,
coordinates have rankings apparently.
well,
Diamond,
yeah.
platinum,
Yeah, that's kind of
gold.
weird. I was like, what are you, knights or Pokemon games? But yeah, that was, I didn't get that. And of course that one woman still has that stupid hole in her armor. Good gosh. But yeah, so we've got a love. All right, sorry about that. We had a little bit of a issue with the connection there, but where were we?
Yeah, so Holy Knights have rankings, and so far we got Diamond and Platinum.
Right, yeah. And then Pokemon joke. Right.
Pokemon Tour, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, and then of course we get a little bit more of the king trying to be like, oh, Diane, I would never leave you behind, or I would get angry for you if you were kidnapped.
And you're trying too hard.
Man, if she got kidnapped, I'd shit myself. Because what the hell can kidnap her? But,
Mountain.
yeah, and so I feel really, I don't know, this chapter kind of made me root more for King than for Diane, if you might say. Because on the one hand, before you, a lot of times I'll be like, oh, the girl likes this guy, okay, I'm rooting for her. And then if another guy likes her, I'm like, oh, forget you, she needs to get who she wants. But then with this one, I'm kind of like, I think overall King's a bit more, just a tiny bit more, tiny bit, a lot more
Tiny
sympathetic
bit.
than Meliodas. So I'm
Big
kind of
little
thinking,
butt.
and the guy that can, use shape-shifting magic and possibly make himself giant size, it could happen. Might be a better fit for the giant woman.
So a fairy and a giant had a kid, no.
So a fairy and a giant had sex. The fairy was never seen again. Some say he still walks the wide corridors of her vagina, searching for the exit. Some say he's even made his way. Oh no, never mind.
So yeah,
Yeah, that is.
oh yeah, King's
Oh yeah, his dog. That's right.
Blackhound.
Yeah, that which can teleport people by eating them, and tries to teleport Diane, but she gets stuck because big butts and all that. He's like, damn, that's a big butt. And yeah, massive emphasis on massive fan service going on, where she's like, King, push me. And he's like, push your butt. He's like, open your mouth wider, let her through. He's like, oh, okay, there we go. I'm like, oh, gosh.
Well, okay, there was a bit where you mentioned about what happened to those ones who were falling. I don't remember what happened with the Black Hound before. I think it appeared sometime before, but... No. It was Holy Knights, and apparently it transports them, but the Black Hound can't decide what it wants to transport, and it didn't like their armor, so those Holy Knights got transported on them. I was like, maybe Holy Knights.
Well, Diane better hope that the dog isn't a pervert and says, I dislike your clothing. It's like, wait, what? That would be pretty awkward. And also, many a strange fetish would be answered. Mm-hmm.
Jericho.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. But all right, and
Jericho got her armor stolen. Remember, her clothes stolen by Bond that time.
Oh yeah.
So she might be a rival to get that again or something.
True. All right, let's see what else do we have for this chapter.
Yeah, I tell you, I know that some of the dialogue is a little.
Yeah, did notice that a little bit. Yeah, there were some spots. I can't remember specifics, but I do remember noticing that there were spots where I was just like, what's up with the dialogue?
I'm like, wait, what? Oh, excuse me. Yeah. But yeah, Gothers, Sacred Treasure.
Oh yeah, that was fun. Where it's like, he just rewrites everyone's memories and says like, dude, that's terrible.
That's my like, brother, you're here. A million of them.
He's like, oh, it's my lover. I was like, dude, please don't use it for that again. that's approaching date rape territory.
This is probably why he used the sin of lust.
Oh, man, that would have been kind of amusing where if he changed all of their perceptions of their relationship to lover. It's like, it has not become a matter of fight our way through the Holy Knights. It's become a matter of fight our way through the Holy Knights with our virtue intact.
It's all like, damn it, sometimes I wish I could die now.
Yeah, but this was a good chapter. I liked it a lot. Yeah, well, this manga has been going in a good direction, I feel.
At first, when I read this chapter, I was like, okay, it's a little slow, but I was like, when I saw Gotha's part and King's and Diane's part, I was like, hey, it isn't bad. But then dialogue, I was like, oh, it's done. Dialogue is good.
Yeah, I think when I first started reading this series, I was really big into it. But then I kind of got to a point in the, where they got to the tournament arc. And I was kind of thinking to myself, I don't think I like this as much.
But yeah, I hope there will be one tournament arc in the series, and that's it. If it's just the Diane Sacred Treasure, then that's it.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it happened again. But, okay. No. All right, let's talk about our next series, Chapter 2 of Okitenemaru, Snake Woman. So... we find out who that woman in the armor is, and that she is that woman from the cover of the series, basically. And we also discover that they ask, who was this girl? And they're like, oh, it's this person. And it's like, wait, that's not our friend's name. And then at first I was like, whoa, was the guy lying about it or something? But then it turns out, no, she's she's alive. She shows up with them. She'd forgotten to charge her phone.
Oh, yeah. My mom does that, too. Like, oh, wait. Yeah. How did you get your phone? Oh, I got to charge my phone. Oh.
It's like, what? How? What?
I'm making worries.
But, yeah, it is. I will say that was a very good twist, because at first I was thinking, oh, this is totally a great twist to have the main girl die. That's, you know, so unexpected. But then to twist it around and be, oh, no, wasn't her, even though we had pretty heavy hints that it was. But then it turns out that the Snake Woman was the girlfriend of the Giraffe Man.
So, Giraffe Man and Snake Woman, ODP.
Indeed. The deepest of French kissing.
Yes.
Yeah, and then it turns out that apparently there's a parasite involved in this. So, interesting. So
It's
the
like
mystery deepens.
like Resident Evil, but turning people into monsters and
With Animal next.
and
I wonder what the next one is. I hope that we continue with this giant neck theme. That would be, well, we've actually
beef.
already run out of any. Well, maybe she'll turn into a different kind of snake. Maybe one of them will be a cobra.
No. What ends up being a flamingo?
Works. Or maybe a swan.
Or an ostrich. Actually, ostriches are pretty dangerous,
Yeah,
don't they?
ostrich or maybe an emu.
A
What
pup.
else? Could do like an elephant where the net
A
where
cat.
that it's not a long neck, but it does still have the big trunk.
Camel, a llama.
Llama face. Thank you for that opportunity. Yeah. I'm digging this series so far. It's got a bit of a weird release schedule. It seems to be like it's more like a monthly or yeah, I think it's more of a monthly kind of series. So that's a shame, but I'm definitely digging it.
You should have seen Sweetie Kniga. The chapters felt pretty short.
Yeah, it seems like a weekly, but I mean it wasn't public. We didn't get another chapter last week, so not sure what's up with that.
Oh,
But
probably bi-weekly.
yeah, well, I guess that would work too. I guess they
Are
have
we?
series like that. But yeah, I really like this one. I'm very interested to see where this will go. And now I'm wondering, will the girl die at a later date? Was this just a fake out for her ultimate demise or something? I don't know.
That's horrible.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We can assume that the one kid without the glasses and the woman in the sexy armor are going to stick around because they're on the cover.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be interesting to see what happens. But, yeah, overall, good chapter. And I think that does us for the chapters this week, does it not?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap things up. This has been Manga Cubed, episode 83 for the week of. What week was it? February 3rd, that's it. Yeah. For the week of February 3rd, 2014. This week we went over briefly Neon Genesis Evangelion, volume 13, as well as the usual chapters that we review every week. So, all right, well, been a good week, but it's time for us to say goodbye, so we need to go over just wrap things up. Whoops. If I can avoid
Oh
hitting
yeah,
my equipment.
we do. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's start off with the author comments. First, we have Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. And thus begins the second story of Toriko, the Gourmet World arc. I'm hyped and working hard. And apparently skipped a massive chunk of that arc.
3 years worth.
I don't know what's going on, but I guess we'll just kind of have to wait and see.
You're probably mentioning, but yeah, okay, One Piece, age or older. Do an
Right.
internet search for One Piece Cry Heart Short and check out the video. The quality is amazing. I checked that out,
I haven't watched that yet. I
and
need to watch
it
it.
was quite good. I mean, I'm used to hearing the voices and stuff, but it was moving.
All right, yeah, I'll have to check that one out. Let's see. All right, and
Can you
yeah.
guess what that is?
Yes, I saw the image for it.
Okay, you saw the image, so you
Yeah,
know.
I know what the basic idea is, but I haven't actually watched it.
Okay.
But yeah, we have World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. Sorry for taking last week off. It's almost the 1 year anniversary, so I'm going to do my best. Didn't he
All
break
right, do your
his
best.
yeah, didn't he break his hand? How can he be recovered so quickly?
He probably twisted his wrist or something. I don't
Okay.
know. If you twist your wrist, how long will it take to recover that?
Oh.
Or something.
All right, well, anyway, carry on.
Nisekoi's na Oshikomi. I received New Year's cards from all of you. I felt warm and fuzzy inside. I'll do my best this year.
We should have sent a card. All right.
Yeah.
Bleach's Tite Kubo. My health has been great ever since I went to the dentist. Teeth are really important, aren't they?
Kubo, make a manga about dentists after Bleach is over. I will read
That'd be cool. Bleach. Mouthwash. That's what it'd be called. All right,
I
well.
will clean your teeth before you clean mine.
No, not really. All right, let's actually talk about the rankings for this week. All right,
Okay.
what do we have? All right, Mo, what's your number four?
Little trigger.
World Trigger? Okay. And
Yeah, I think it was a good chapter because, well, other than the new guys, I don't know who. who these are with the horns and such, but...
All right.
But the bit where Yuma went Black Trigger and just knocked that thing out, like, whoa, it just came out of nowhere. And, and then, I guess I don't want to highlight those two kids attacking him just because, hey, this guy is a neighbor and it's not like, dude, he just helped you take down something really strong that you can't take down.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Well, yeah, that is a bit of an annoying penchant this manga has for characters that are less than intelligent in their dealings with the main characters, but, well. Yeah, and World Trigger was also my number four, mostly because it's just, you know, it was good. I liked it. It had some good stuff going for it.
I have to admit, I was kind of laughing when Osamu was kind of getting attacked. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you suck.
Sorry. No,
seriously, stop that.
I know.
He's like, dude, if you're going to do that, mute it. I don't think our listeners appreciate being coughed at, even over the internet. All right, well, let's see. Number three, what's not your number three?
My number three is All You Need Is Kill.
Okay, how come?
I like the chapter with the whole loop thing, how, you know...
Like, I like the loop thing, the main premise of this series.
Well, okay, no. Well, I like the fact that it wasn't the loop, but he was using the loop skill, like, to actually, like, learn what he said he was gonna do the previous chapter. Like, right. I'm gonna learn, like, even though I'm gonna die a lot. I'm like, this guy's actually using his life more probably than, like, most people play Mario, just freaking jumping down for no reason or falling down. They're like, what the heck? And then they fall down, like, 5 times in a row. And they still can't figure out why they keep falling down 5 times in a row.
Yeah, it's... Yeah,
but at least he's using his loops properly.
Yeah, yeah. It's like what we see taken into effect what he was saying last week with, I'm going to learn from experience. And we're going to see how that starts working and how he becomes such a good soldier. So.
Although I did feel pretty grim in a way. I'm not sure if the soldiers did that, but when he was saying, oh, I know how this guy can move around. Like, so the first time he did this, he failed and actually got shot on trespassing.
Yeah, that is kind of amusing. Yeah. All right. Well, my number three is Dragon Ball, just because there was a lot of this is just one of those kind of in-between chapters that I really liked. It had a lot of funny stuff going on, and it was very amusing, you know? And, you know, it's kind of like one of those chapters, like, the fight is over here, let's just have the characters do their thing kind of moment. So I really appreciated that.
Okay.
Yep. All right, number two. What is your number two?
As much as I kind of have trouble accepting it, Toriko.
Okay, Toriko's your number two. How come?
Well, other than the whole, why did we feel like we missed, like, 3 years' worth of material? But
true.
It was a good introduction back into the series and stuff, and with the whole, you know, I'm quite sure it's probably a dream.
I could see that. That would be kind of interesting, but yeah, my number three was All You Need Is Kill, mostly because basically for the reasons that you said. I just really like the way the loop is going on and just seeing how he is, you know,
wait,
becoming
number,
a better
number
soldier.
Two.
That's my number two.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my number two. I like it because, you know, it's just a good, it just really has a good show for it. It's letting us see exactly what this, you know, just the basic, hey, he sucked, but now he's getting better, but he's still not living.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I liked it. It was good. All right, number one. What's number
one?
One Piece, yes. It's One Piece for both of us. Yeah, it's just there was too much awesome stuff going on. We really can't rank it any other way.
I have to admit, though, the Nami cover chapter was... I understand that there was irony, too, but it didn't feel as cool, unlike the Usopp and Sanji. Maybe there wasn't much to look at it, but...
Right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I thought it was just really entertaining.
It's going in the order of Luffy, Zoro, Usopp. Usopp first, and then Sanji, now Nami.
Yeah, it's not... I don't know. It's not... It doesn't have any
logical
reason to it. Yeah, and it isn't in terms of who came first and all that, you know?
Yeah, I thought, like, wait, where did Luffy come from? Or Zoro?
Yeah, pretty much, but... Right, yeah. Well, I think that's, yeah, and the chapter itself was just, had a lot of surprises and all that fun stuff, so.
Especially Mingo freaking out, who was that guy?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, just seeing how he's, like, losing his cool, and you're like, it's the start of your downfall. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch. And, yeah, so I think that's about that for the rankings this week. Let's go ahead and just finish up the wrap-up. As usual, we don't have any questions or comments this week, but anyone that does have some, burninglizardstudios@gmail.com, you can send them in and we'll read them on the air. You can ask us anything at burninglizard@tumblr.com or burninglizardstudios or burninglizardstudios.blogspot.com, or you can find me on Twitter and ask questions at burninglizard. And, yeah, any questions or comments that are sent to us, we'll read them on the air and answer them. And I think that about wraps everything up, unless you had anything else you needed to say, Mo?
Well, this is with the interviews. I'm kind of hoping that they get other than just Kishin with an Obata for once.
Yeah, well, we'll see who they get next. I don't know. Yeah.
You might get Kubo or Bleach when Bleach is ending or is going to be ending or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's getting pretty close to that. But then again, it's been saying that for, like, what, 2 years now? It's like, Bleach is going to end. And it's like, this arc started, like, 3 years ago. I was still in college when it happened, so.
No one's dying.
So it's like, geez, guys, get a move on. But no, yeah, I imagine Kubo is a likely choice. Personally, I'd just really love to see if they get a chance to talk to Oda, which. Chances aren't great, but we'll see.
We'll
see what happens with that.
I sent the question.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you send in the question. Well, we'll see. We'll have to listen to their latest episode to see if they answer that one. But, all right. Well, I think we're going to finish up here. So, yeah, we'll see you all next week. And in the meanwhile, remember, the manga is always better.
Ciao, and next week is Valentine's Day. Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
All right. See you next week.
See you next week. Yeah.